While I was skimming the news tonight, none of the articles really jumped out at me. New consoles, new games, retro consoles, retro games, fan mods, mashups, etc. I realized that this was the news, that we are smack in the middle of the transitionary period where the gaming world moves around between the big earth-shattering announcements. It's that very pleasant middle ground of news that is all good, but without yours truly having to skirt around the most obvious thing to reference. This is the Meta Intro. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to talk about actual news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again today, May the 23rd of 2021, with episode number 870 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joining you here live on Twitch TV at channel VOG Network, where we tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And I am joined by, of course, the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers. Hello.
Hola.
How are you doing?
I am well rested.
Good. Yes. We were talking a little bit about that before the show.
Yeah. I'm also not used to having like this extra light now. It's kind of getting in my eyes.
Yes. But I love the lighting looks great where you're at. It's good.
Thanks. Right. Well, I invested in a new ring light. Thank goodness for a TJ Maxx and the fact that they've got like 50,000 different ring lights for anywhere between like 12 to 40 bucks.
Hey, now they didn't pay for that ad, but but I do.
No, I'm gonna say it because I want my fellow indies out there to be able to afford some good ass lighting.
Well, and I've noticed in general that a lot of stores out there are starting to kind of cater to this streaming broadcasting culture. You know, I go into Best Buy and I'm looking for I was looking for a microphone or something, and there's this whole little section about like influencers, and they have microphones for influencers and cameras and the lighting and that stuff. It's like a big thing, and it's you know, obviously we've been doing this a very long time, coming up on 19 years next month, and so it does make me do this double take about what this is stuff like. Now they sell it at Best Buy. This used to be the stuff that like you had to be a total geek and go to Radio Shack to get. I could hear the Travis Donovan, our dear friend from Outer Station Life. I could hear his old man rant building in my head about you kids today.
Well, I mean, it only took me 18 years to upgrade to a good mic, so whatever.
Same here at OLR. Going to chat.
I can't go back from using this sucker.
Well, we'll figure it out. In chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, ACDEF says, street vendors in Mexico sell LED lights and cams now. That's fascinating. You know, I think I've seen like the clips for phones. I've seen like the selfie lights. I've seen those at street vendors. And I see a lot of like the color LED lights, like woo, like sports fans waving them around in a stadium, things like that. Woo. But yeah. Like to the extent that you're talking about for like influencing, it's fascinating. We're in that type of culture. All right. Well, let's see if our other old man here at Orange Lounge Radio has a rant or two about it. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
What's a Radio Shack?
This store, you've been to a Radio Shack, Loki. Give me a break. I'm sure you miss it too. Come on.
Are you a geriatric millennial?
Is that a contradiction?
Ask Rob.
That's a yes. That's my one viral tweet. Well, look, Radio Shack was a store that was open back in the day. That game that's playing behind you tonight was popular. Actually, I don't think that game was ever popular. It was just kind of like a cult game that people
Dan
knew.
Dan managed one.
But it was featured in, you know, a feature-length movie.
That's true.
And it was used as the theme music for a Strong Bad segment.
And it was so rad. Of course, for the podcast listeners who can't see it, he's got Rad Racer, the 8-bit classic on the NES with its 3D mode playing behind him right now. Actually, it's not in 3D right now, though. It is that horrible red and blue thing when you have it in 3D. But it worked.
I don't think it's in 3D mode right now.
No, it's not. It's not. It looked when you hit the, I think you hit the select button to toggle it back in the day, and it's like it takes away everything, and it's just like red and blue lines, and it's not that great because all you see is like a little added depth. And of course, the old school 80s glasses that kind of would give you a headache after not that long. You know, it wasn't great technology. We've come a long way in our 3D technology, that's for sure. That's how everybody knew Rad Racer. A lot of people forget it was a Square Enix, but Square game, because most people only know them through the role-playing games.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I thought it'd be a fun game to put back there.
Yeah, it is. Orange Wright in chat says, it's that game from The Wizard. It's so bad. Yes. Yes, it is. All right. We're going to get in. Yeah, what?
Can I interject something really off topic right now?
I suppose.
Lady Gaga got the keys to West Hollywood today.
She didn't already have them. Like, I thought.
And all I can care about are those platform boots she has because I want them.
Like,
that's all.
If gay rights were a Starbucks card, Lady Gaga would have like $1,500 still waiting to be spent on her account. Like, she just now got the keys to West Hollywood. Really?
I just like didn't realize that West Hollywood actually was considered a city that had a key.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. Okay.
Well, speaking of off-topic random things, I will say a happy. I doubt he's listening, but I'll say happy birthday anyway to Shad Starzik or Shane. His birthday. It's
happy
actually
birthday,
today.
Shane.
So it's not. It's not like it was Tuesday or something. It's actually today. Bringing him up also makes me think of this. This isn't technically our kickoff tonight, but too bad. I'm going to talk about this anyway. It is gaming. He texted me something earlier this week because he reads a lot of those web forums like Reset Era and that stuff. I think Loki, you're in tune to a lot of that stuff too. I see the stuff on Twitter, but I don't see like a lot of the forums and that stuff. He sent me something that was posted on one of those forums, which was like arcade one-up leaks that are coming up.
I saw that.
And apparently the person that leaked it is kind of like a YouTuber that's kind of known for this stuff. So it's not like a out of the blue rando, my uncle works at Arcade 1-Up type of thing. Like this is. So anyway, long story short, it looks like a Tron machine is coming from Arcade 1-Up. It's going to have Tron and discs of Tron. And I absolutely had my goddammit moment. And I think we've talked about this on the show before. There's that thing, and when you see it, you just know you're not going to be. It's just you see it, and you go, "God damn it!" And it's the sound of your wallet just unloading. And that, and you know, and I've said it on the show. I don't have room, I don't have money for another one of those Arcade 1-Up machines. But God damn it, I'm getting the Tron machine. I'm getting it. I have to, assuming it's legit and confirmed and all that stuff. There was other ones too that there was a Simpsons machine that was in there too, and I'm sure that one is going to actually be really, because people really fondly remember that Simpsons arcade game. We're talking about this a little bit on Bobby Blackwolf's show because he's on live before us, a very interesting connection I didn't realize, because somebody in chat during his show has said, oh, I don't know if it's going to be real because Disney's not going to let Tron go. And we actually were kind of like, well, actually, Disney owns Star Wars, and Star Wars has already had some Arcade 1-Up cabinets. And then that was kind of like the aha moment of, right, Disney owns The Simpsons now too. I forgot that. But that's why all the Simpsons stuff is on Disney Plus, and of course with the Fox and all that. So The Simpsons and Tron have that in common. There's a Disney connection there. So
find it, the Disney connection.
I know when I saw the Paw Patrol cabinet, I was like,
I was going to say that's one too.
I gotta get that.
We never had a Muppets cabinet, did we? Because Jamie breaking into song.
Was there ever a Muppets game?
I don't think there was ever a Muppets like game. I think there were like console games that weren't very good, and I think there were some edutainment Kermit games. And if you want to kind of tie that to Sesame Street, I think that certainly Sesame Street's had its share. But the Muppets, I want to say there was like an adventure game on Commodore 64.
But why would that have an arcade cabinet?
Yeah, nothing arcadey that I can think of. So there's that. Oh, SSG100 Matt with the clip. Thank you for that. That reminds me. Okay, I remember when the goddammit moment was. It was something that happened with Jamie. And it was also an Arcade 1-Up story because we were talking about the Capcom cabinet and it had Strider in it. And Jamie went, goddammit.
I'm apparently a meme now.
Had a goddammit moment. All right. ActDev says, I think there's Muppet games on the Wii. Well, Wii had everything. Give me a break. All right. Anyway, so there's that little rumor, and I'm like, I'm very excited about the Tron cabinet. At the same time, I'm very pissed off about it. I'm sure you can understand. Like, why did it have to be now? All right. Well, speaking of classics.
Well, and you're going to have room for it, so.
Well, in the future, I might, but nothing as of yet, so.
That's
all right.
True. But you know what? You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You have a friend that you can store that at.
Ah, I see what you're getting at.
Who still has no room.
All right. Anyway, speaking of classics, let's get into some talk about Nintendo Switch Online and the classics library that's on the Nintendo Switch, because that is, of course, something that's continuing to grow. And they just made some big announcements this week that more games are going to be added, including Joe and Mac, which for whatever reason was called Caveman Ninja here, which is on
it was?
The. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always saw it as Joe and Mac.
No, wait, it's the other way around. It's Joe and Mac here and Caveman Ninja overseas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got it backwards. Sorry. But anyway, that is going to be one of the games that's coming. Magical Drop 2, which I forgot was even on Super Nintendo, is coming as well. And Ninja Yaya Maru-kun is coming out as well. And then there's some differences between Japan and the U.S. Japan is getting a Fire Emblem game, Fire Emblem Genealogy of the Holy War. They don't want to translate that for the U.S. Or when they do, they'll charge us more money for it. And then Spanky's Quest, as well as Super Baseball Simulator 1000 are additional games that are coming for us here in the U.S. Now, the reason why I kind of bring this up at the top of the show tonight is because this means that the Nintendo Switch Online library has crossed 100 games. It's kind of hit a milestone. Obviously, people still have their criticisms of Nintendo Switch Online. I think we've all been a little bit critical here on OLR about it because we feel like there's still a lot of stuff missing from it. How do you feel about how far Nintendo Switch Online has come? And what do you think is kind of like missing that still needs to be added? Let me just go ahead and say Super Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, The Guardian Legend. All right, I think I've named all the big ones. Outside of that, the ones we all know about, what are some things that are kind of like missing? Do you think this whole like Switch Online, Super Nintendo, Nintendo Library, do you think it is making a good deal for having a Nintendo Online membership, or is Nintendo not doing enough still? Or like, where's your head at with all this now that we're so far into it and 100 games into it? Loki, I got to start with you because I know you're going to have something to say about Nintendo.
I think that 100 games by now is not really enough. They could have been doing so much more with that. I'm just having a hard time believing with the catalog that they had before that they just can't get those on there or work out licensing deals with these guys. And not even necessarily licensing deals. I mean, they have their own like first party titles. Not everything's on there. So I just think there's so much more they could be doing.
Darsakra, any opinion?
I honestly just think that they're being cautious with the rollout. I mean, there's certainly games that I would like to see. Like, I don't recall if I saw Kirby's Avalanche on there, which is like that was my Puyo Puyo introduction.
I think they just they just have Puyo Puyo in it.
They have Puyo Puyo.
Yeah, they even put that in the U.S. version. So I don't know if they put the Kirby branded one in there. He got the 6-in-1 game in the Super Nintendo era with Kirby Superstar or whatever it was called, and the mini golf game is there too.
No, but like, there's a bunch of other just like really kind of quirky games that I think would be well to come out. I mean, I've certainly covered a few. Like, I would like to have some more shooter games. You know, if they're going to get some other third party games, why don't we get something like UN Squadron or what was the other stuff I played? Or back in the Nintendo ones, like Sky Shark, you know, get some of those Koei games and a little bit more of the compile stuff.
Good call out. I think, you know, obviously there's the big ones that I named that are still missing, I think, for a lot of people, whether it's licensing or concern about the lines of parody in Earthbound or whatever it is. I obviously those are glaring omissions that continue to kind of spotlight what's missing and have a lot of the fandoms kind of like focused on that a little bit. I don't know if Super Mario RPG will ever happen, although why shouldn't it? Like, what does Square have to lose from an agreement like that? There's a lot I kind of don't understand with that, but whatever. I'm not on the business side of things, so it's hard for me to say. What is still missing for me that kind of blows my mind that Nintendo still has not capitalized on this is the other systems. Like, you know, if the Switch is meant to be like a portable system and a system that sits on the dock on played on the TV, and there's that, but I'm also more thinking, where's Game Boy and Game Boy Advance and Color Game Boy? Where's like Pokemon Pinball? Where's, you know, the Mario game that was on Game Boy? Where's, you know,
the
Zelda?
Does the Switch have an accelerometer?
Does the Switch have one? I think it does, yeah.
Okay, so then, yeah, that would be easy.
Yeah. So, I don't understand why these don't exist in the library yet. Like, the Game Boy stuff is long since overdue, and I hope Nintendo's going to think about making an announcement. And I would agree that Nintendo 64, also pretty long overdue at this point, especially, you know, to revisit classics like Pokemon Snap, although, yes, I'm sure Nintendo would rather you play the new one. But there's going to come a time when the new one isn't selling like crazy anymore, and revisiting the old school Pokemon Snap would be a delight. But maybe they're also noticing people are willing. I mean, they could have given away Mario 64 for free, but why should they when they did that Mario 3D All-Star Collection limited time and charge $20 for it? If it's 60 divided by 3, $20 for it, and people still paid it. And so that kind of goes in line with what Bobby is saying in chat. Bobby Blackwolf says Square realized people will pay for their old ROMs. And I think that's kind of like this tricky place we're at with Nintendo Online is now it's like, okay, so some games you'll give away with the membership, but others you're so protective of, you're going to sell them in a bundle or whatever, or do a $5 standalone, which I think ultimately is what happens with Earthbound. I think Earthbound will be released, but you're going to have to pay money for it outside of the Switch Online collection, and they're going to do something stupid to justify why it's a separate cost. Like, oh, it's a special anniversary edition with some extra art in this menu shell that we put with it, and a digital version of the instruction manual. And we're going to have GameStop sell a $50 version of Earthbound that comes with a little statue. Like, I can hear Loki rolling his eyes, but
you don't have to hear it. You can see it in person. It's like, oh, God.
Isn't this literally their MO? Like, is anything I'm saying?
Then don't make an effort then. I get it that they want to do that with some of their titles, but like, if that's the case, then why don't we see a lot of these titles being we see some of them being released on these platforms as like collections and stuff, but not everything. So there's still plenty of content that they could be putting on there and other systems that they can be adding on it. And like I said, you know, Nintendo First Party could do some stuff as well. Obviously, we're not going to see some Pokemon games getting added on there because they're going to remake all those. Then why even put forth the effort? Because that's your selling point. You're like, well, okay, Nintendo Online, you have online access, which kind of sucks. And then you have access to this library of games, but we're just not going to contribute to it because, it's going to screw over our other plans to screw you over by selling it piecemeal to you. Like, stop
it's
being
not
greedy.
A plan to screw over, and it's the point of a business to be greedy. End of story.
But it's why we all hate capitalism. Yes,
I understand that, but then don't offer that. Then don't even offer the games at all. Then if that's going to be the issue, if you're going to just sell these all piecemeal, then just don't do it. Because right now it's just like I don't even know why we cover this every time they put games out on it. Like, wow,
it's good business for them. Their
after
people
3 years,
are getting
100 games. Good job, you guys. That's way more than you ever had in your, you know, virtual console stores.
They're putting out enough to make Nintendo Online attractive to the average user, and they're putting them out as they see this is not going to be profitable to have standalone. Let's put it in with the service to, again, make it attractive for people to want Nintendo Online beyond just a few games. And then the big games, the ones that they know that they're going to be able to compile and have as a standalone, something that would bring in more revenue, then yes. I mean, it's honestly, it's just business. It's not a, oh, they should do this because it's convenient for us. It's their business model. End of story.
And ultimately, the only way it's going to change is to stop paying for a Switch Online.
Exactly.
I think a lot
no
of
one's
people,
gonna do that.
People aren't going to do it because there's too much other stuff, like visiting Animal Crossing towns and playing Mario Kart online or Smash Brothers online. There's too much other stuff tied to it that people aren't going to want to let go of. So Nintendo looks at it and goes, success! But I kind of see...
Once again, they don't even have to put out the games in. Just don't even offer that. Just say, listen, it's just $10, you know, a year or whatever it is, $20 a year to pay for just play online. Done. There you go.
I really do see, like, both ends of the frustration. Because, like, I also see that, like, when Nintendo launched this, they launched it with an A-list lineup of 30 titles that kind of really set an expectation. And since then, they've been buoying it with C-list titles and with an A-list very occasionally sprinkled in. Maybe in the first update there were some, you know. So, but now we're, like, let's be real. A lot of these games I just talked about, They're not things where you're going to go like, oh my God, I'm so... I mean, the magical drop thing is kind of cool, but even I can admit that is kind of niche and most people are not going to give a hoot about it. And so maybe I think that's where some of the frustration in general comes in. I do want to read this comment from chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork because I honestly think Bobby hits it on the money here, literally saying, you know they won't do the thing everyone wants in regards to Earthbound. A retail title, but it has Earthbound Beginnings, Earthbound, and finally a localized Mother 3. Yeah, Earthbound All-Stars, $60. A lot of people would pay it. Absolutely. Why not? And it'll even come with a shitty statue of something from the game, a little shitty NES statue or something.
I want a Mr. Saturn.
A Mr. Saturn, yeah.
Since someone stole my handmade Mr. Saturn.
That's not nice.
Remember the one I made for GamerX?
Yeah, I do.
Someone stole it.
Man, those conventions were so long ago. Time flies. Crazy,
I'm
crazy.
Make another.
Anyhow, the Nintendo Switch Collection library, it's nice that it's, you know, hit 100 games, but I think there's that definitely that growing sense of frustration of, are you just going to release these things in a package for $60, or are you going to give us, you know, more of the stuff we really want? And why are there entire systems that are completely being untouched? No Game Boy, no Game Boy Advance, no N64, even stuff as recent as Wii and GameCube. I think all of us on the show would happily plunk down the money to play F-Zero GX all over again. You know, it's one of the greatest GameCube games they ever made. Why not? But for whatever reason, Nintendo is just like, yeah, we'll wait and we'll do a celebration later on. We'll put an F-Zero track in Mario Kart and you'll like it.
I also think that Nintendo sort of goes on one of the same principles of a few other companies out there that I won't name that like to put out, they'll put out the expected, and then they'll throw a crazy curveball. The one thing that maybe people have been asking for, say, a few years ago, right? And then they kind of say, oh, well, it's not going to happen. And then all of a sudden, boom, this collection comes out and it's amazing. Everyone wants to buy it.
I think that's when they've run out of ideas, basically, and then they start actually listening to their fans instead of thinking that they know better.
That's not it. Usually companies do this exactly on purpose.
And this is why we get another Pikmin game.
All right.
We needed an AR Pikmin game because Pikmin is so popular.
All right, don't forget a Pikmin mobile game, too. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm just like, why aren't there more Pikmin games? Forget this F-Zero nonsense. Where's my Pikmin?
I'm trying to be open-minded about the mobile game, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the games we have been playing this week. I know no one's playing that Pikmin game because it ain't out yet. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of things we have been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Well, it's not fucking Mass Effect yet. So my KVM Switch arrived. I will be working on my computer tomorrow. I intended to do it today, but someone slept 14 hours. Me. So I'm going to be hooking my PC back up, but I'm going to still play on my Mac through Steam Link. Just because, honestly, I hate my PC. I have... Been playing, of course, a lot of Dead by Daylight because I'm really working on getting better. Although yesterday I had like a really terrible trickster match, but it was also just for me to test my my gigabit Ethernet on like a test stream, so I wasn't really trying very hard. No, that was like the opposite of a sweaty game. What's the opposite of a sweaty game? A well air conditioned game?
I guess a frozen game.
Frozen game. No, I'd say it's a fan game. Fanned, you know. Lick the fan. Anyway, I also am still playing Wordscapes because it's like my brain wake up game. It's what I do. It's my bathroom game, you know. And of course, Animal Crossing. I've slacked off a little bit, and I really need to not slack off because I'm finally kicking Marina out in favor of getting Cyrano. I like what Sia Tabiri says: a well ventilated game. Thank you, thank you. And of course, I'm actually, for reasons coming up later in this show, have a reason to play No Man's Sky.
You better hurry. Limited. It's very limited time.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's the 31st. Yeah. So that means that I have to see. I think it runs on Mac, so I shouldn't have any problem there. And of course, I'm playing Fantasian. And just to reiterate, on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time, I stream my playthrough of Fantasian. So for folks who don't have Apple Arcade or, you know, Apple devices on which to play this, if you're interested about the game, you know, I'm playing through, I'm exploring things that people ask me to. Probably my next game is going to be a go back and open these chests I couldn't open session. But I'm trying to get through like a full story element each time that I play. So again, for those who don't have Apple Arcade, I'm playing through the game for you and nice. For me.
Awesome. Yeah. All right.
It's a service, Rob. It's really a service.
I caught a little bit of the stream. I was lurking because I was watching on the TV, so I don't really chat when I'm on the TV,
but
I caught
a little bit of it.
Oh yeah, it's a pretty game.
Yeah, the whole thing about it, like their niche on it is that, actually, Rob, you can do that through, I'll tell you later, but you have a way to use my Apple Arcade account.
Well, it was all about more having a way to play it, but I actually, I could use the show's mini to play it if I wanted to.
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
But going back to the thing about the game is that it's all hand-built dioramas. So every background is made of real materials. Some of the enemies in the game have like real textures as their render textures. So there you go. It's worth playing. It's very fun. It definitely gives me a little bit more of a earlier Final Fantasy / Chrono Trigger vibe. A lot of the music makes me think of Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, every time I play it, I'm more and more impressed with the story, especially that weird pirate guy who's not really a pirate.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I was going to say, I want to play it at some point, and that's actually why I haven't been watching your streams a lot, because I don't want to spoil myself. So, yeah. But you know, for those that know they're not going to get around to it anytime soon, it's a good way to check it out. So, all right.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
So my gaming week was still Minecraft, still playing on the server, still editing video. The second video is just about done, so I'm hoping to have that done tonight. And then other exciting things coming soon in regards to streaming and stuff on there. So I can't wait to talk about that once I have everything confirmed. But extremely exciting stuff. So stay tuned for that. And then I finally got my labels for my game cartridges.
I saw on Twitter. They look great.
They kind of screwed up the first ones, but so they reprinted them for me, and they're looking okay. They're looking cool. Pretty good. So I've only got enough for 12 because that's all the cartridges I have right now. But you know, eventually we'll make more, and I still have to finish up I had like two levels left that I have to make for the game just to pad it out a bit more, and then I think we'll be ready to go. So.
Dibs on buying one.
Very soon. Yes, I know lots of people want them. I don't know, like, if we should go the Kickstarter route just to do more, but, like, or, like, because I haven't really figured out how to do the fulfillment part of this. You know, it's like, how do I take orders? How do I ship those orders? I mean, it's like, so we'll see.
I would say use your 12 to test this whole process. Have these 12 be for the people that, you know, are closest to you and had the game. So basically, you know, me, Jamie, yeah. YYR, Bobby, I guess, because he's Bobby. Jason, if he wants one, cool. You know, like the people that probably drive. And then use that as like your test thing and then do the Kickstarter to open it up to others that might be interested in it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
So, all right. Anything else?
I'm a little bit of Orna, just enough to get the rewards each day and doing that stuff. I saw that someone's remembering to do the Kingdom fights now. So that's nice. We had a few of those.
Anybody can start those now. I gave permissions to everybody a while ago.
Oh, okay. Well, perfect. Yeah. I just didn't know how to use the bot in the Discord, although I don't think they did last time either. So we'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, let's see, my gaming week. So, like, my biggest thing is a story later in the show. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to sit and wait. So we'll talk about that a little later. So I spent several hours doing that, but of course I've been playing some of the old favorites too. Was doing some Final Fantasy 14, leveling up my ninja, trying to get all of my characters up to level 80 by the time the next expansion comes out. And now I know I have until November. That's probably enough time for me to do it, so that's good. Also,
does your ninja look like the actual ninja, like for the earlier games?
No, he kind of looks different. I mean, also the ninjas have the daggers, which doesn't really match the look from the earlier games. A little bit. I can see where there's like some edge influence maybe, but it kind of looks a little bit different. But I like the way the ninjas play in Final Fantasy. So I think I have that warrior, monk, and I think one other one. I got to get to 80 and then everything is 80. And that includes crafting and gathering classes too.
So do the ninjas jobs. Still throw weapons?
Not really. They use ninjutsu is kind of like their thing. So you do a bong bong bong. You do like a three thing order, and it goes bong. And depending on what order you did things in, you can do like an AOE attack. You do like a lightning bolt. But they do have mug, and they have something else that they can like a sneak attack, basically like go behind and get the mob that way. But they don't. They do have a throw dagger thing. But you don't use it a lot in your rotation because it's not very powerful. But it is something that's available.
I'm thinking ninja from, was it like Final Fantasy VI? But maybe I'm thinking like Shadow because I think he could throw stuff. But that's right. They had ninja in 11 too. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. But it was very different. It was very different. Right. I don't usually shout these out during the show, but I just want to say Morissimo, thank you, because that's now 10 gift subs you've given away this evening. So that is extremely generous of you, and I just want to say thank you for that. You don't have to, but it's very appreciated that you did, so thank you. So let's see. What else for my gaming week do I want to share? Dead by Daylight, I guess. I hit rank 10 Survivor, so I'm doing something right. But that's right about, I think I've kind of hit the peak of where I'm going until I learn how to loop killers better and get more talents. I only have Dwight's talents, and now I have Meg up to 34. So I have like one of hers, but I still need to get her talents. And then I got to work on the others that I want their talents as well. So that's just like, it's just a grind. You have to wait a long time for survival matches.
I decided when I play, I'm actually going to go, for David so I can just start off with Dead Hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll probably be the one I do next, honestly.
And like, and I bought the shirtless skin.
Claudette.
So I can play Daddy David.
Claudette was going to be my next one. I was just going to kind of go in order, but I actually don't think... I mean, she has self-care, but a lot of the Dead by Daylight pros actually kind of taunt self-care. It's not a great talent to take because it's like, if you want to heal yourself, bring a med kit. So...
Just take your challenge points and dump them in a character that you don't want to play that has perks that you want, like what I'm doing with Bubba.
Yeah, we'll see.
One last little thing, not to distract.
No, that's fine.
I'm officially a plague main.
Okay. Work.
Yeah, officially.
I don't like playing as plague. I like plague, but I she's hard to play as.
She's
for me.
The Vommy Mommy.
I know. I like her. I don't like playing her. There's a difference. That's for you. Go for it. I don't know if I have like a main yet. I love Pyramid Head, but I feel like I do. Honestly, I do better as Freddy. And Freddy's like the toxic one that people. Isn't that funny, Dark Soccer? Your power, because you were the one that bought him for me the first time. But I honestly think Freddy's my best character.
So you know what you need to do then?
Hmm.
You need to level Billy to get Tinker and throw that on Freddy, and then everyone will really hate you.
Oh, God, yes, yeah. No, I do.
That is God mode Freddy right there.
Yeah, I need to, or I need to wait for, I need that and Pop.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pop never shows up in the archive.
No, but I actually, I don't hate playing as Clown. I get that, you know, for folks with a phobia and stuff, it's not a lot of fun, but I think his mechanic's neat. So
yeah, I actually want to play him. So like for him and Doctor, because I hate what they look like. They really set me off. Mm-hmm. I just bought different cosmetics for them.
Yeah. I was actually just about to suggest that. I was going to say they have that giant chicken suit for Clown, and that's really funny to me. So
I actually put like the ogre looking one on him, the big barbarian one.
Oh, okay.
And then on Doctor, I did Plague Doctor because I really don't like the new one either.
I played against a trapper today. I was Survivor. I played against a trapper who was dressed like Kratos from God of War. I didn't even know that was a thing. I was
There's an interesting crossover. Like a Krampus trapper as well.
Oh, that's weird. But I hate going against trapper, hag. Those are the two.
Hagatha's on my list.
It's somewhat nurse if the nurse is good. The things with they all have jump scare mechanics, and that's why I hate going against them.
When you're talking about leveling up Dwight, I always think of Dwight Schrute, and that would be an amazing survivor in that game. I'm telling you, like that would be
actually Dwight
awesome.
Is kind of like that Dwight.
No, the survivor we need in Dead by Daylight tangent, and then I'm going to something else. The survivor we need the most in Dead by Daylight. I will hear no other candidates. This is the one we need the most. Is Brenda from Scary Movie? That is the one we need the most.
Well,
Brenda,
we have Ghostface.
Scary Movie was the Keenan Ivory Wayne's one, and then the airplane guy did the later ones.
But it had a Ghostface knockoff in it.
It did. But Brenda was the best, and her and Cindy need to be survivors. So
you know,
Sydney,
it has been a while since we did a list less. You know,
I know, right? maybe in the future, we'll see. All right,
we'll do survivors for Dead by Daylight. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, let's see. What else of my gaming week? I'm suddenly at a loss for what else. I thought there was something else I wanted to talk about, but I forget, so oh well. We're going to get into...
Did you talk about the game that's coming back up later?
No, because I'm waiting for it to come up later.
Okay.
It's No Man's Sky. I played a lot of...
You can still say you played it.
I played it, and we'll talk about why in a little bit. Let's see. Some other quick little like housekeeping items to get into before we get into the stories for tonight. Number one, we're not going to be here next week, Memorial Day weekend, because I'm going to keep it real. I was looking at the calendar of like the shows, and I was like, we haven't taken a night off since October when I took that trip to Idaho. One of my friends is going to be in town in the Bay Area, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm just going to take the weekend off. I want a night off. So I'm using some PTO. Next week. And then when I talked, I was like, hey, Matt, Jamie, you guys can still do a show. And they were like, nah, night off sounds good. So a night off it is. So and you know what? The reality is, too, I think just because so many people are getting vaccinated and have gotten vaccinated. Like, if you think about it, vaccination opened up to everybody, what, like April 15th? So that was about 6 weeks ago. So most people that were on it right away, like I know Alan was one of them, he now has hit his full vax. And I think there's going to be a lot of people this Memorial Day weekend. So I think there's just going to be a lot of people that just want to go do shit that weekend. Now, of course, I don't want to advocate like, oh, don't, you know, it's over, be careless. No, I'm not trying to say that. But I think, you know, and obviously the CDC has said, if you're vaccinated, there's a lot you can do. And I think it's time that people go do them.
Aren't they like dropping the mask mandate or something like that in June,
and it won't apply to really big events, where like outdoor events, you'll still have to, either have proof of a test or a vaccination. But that varies state to state. Some states it doesn't matter anymore. So anyway, my point is, I've got other plans next weekend, and my inkling is a lot of you have plans next weekend as well. So we're just going to take a week off. Maybe we'll do something. Maybe we'll do something special during the stream or something. Well, I said many, not all.
I'm actually thinking about doing, a marathon stream.
Go work. Do it. Yeah. Hey,
we'll see.
Yeah. But you know what? As well, Jamie, if you just want to take a night off as well, sometimes it's just nice to have the rest and relaxation. So don't feel obligated, you know? But yeah, thank you.
I got 14 hours of that, Rob. I'm fine.
A lot of people in chat are just like, cool, we get it. SSJ100 Matt says, totally get it. I took time off this weekend to see folks I haven't seen in a while. DJ Roma S says, indeed, I spent the weekend with a friend of mine out of town. Act Deft is bringing up the Pogo special event, which did not play into my decision, but it is a nice perk. I didn't know this. Sia Tabiri with the random fact about Scary Movie. Apparently, Lori Beth Denberg from All That was approached for the cameo that eventually went to Marissa Jarrett Whitaker from, I think she's from Hairspray. I didn't know that. I love Lori Beth Denberg. I wish she'd done the role, but I also respect if she, you know, she wants to stay retired or whatever, whatever she's doing. The other big announcement. Channel Point reward streams here at Vogue Network. So Bobby did the last one. So Bobby did, he just on like Thursday, maybe it was Wednesday. What is time? Sorry, I can't remember. But earlier this week at Vogue, he did a stream where he looked at E3 tapes that he did in the year 2000. So it was kind of like old tapes of what, and it was actually kind of neat because he had a game in there. It was like I think it was Simville or something. It was a game that was supposed to be like The Sims meets Sim City. It actually never came out, but he had like 10 minutes worth of like filming the footage because they were showing it at this E3. And I thought there was a lot of like neat stuff like that in it. And I think that's kind of the fun part about going back and looking at old stuff. It's not just like, oh, what's the cringe wrestling event that I filmed? Cause there's a lot of that too. But you know, what were like the things that never actually happened, or what were they, you know, looking like there that they didn't end up looking like actually. So that's kind of cool. What? Oh my God. Sia Tabiri. I'm sorry. This is a tangent, but it's important. Sia Tabiri says that Lori Beth Denberg has a podcast. What? I'm going to subscribe to that one. Absolutely. All right. Let's see. So what is the next Channel Point reward here at OLR? I'm going to head this one up. I threatened this one before. I'm going to make good on it, but I'm only going to promise myself participating in this because I don't know if Jamie and Matt want to do it, but we're going to do an episode one listen through with commentary and talk about the old school days of the show. So
for
with
fuck's
Rob,
sake, I'm down. So,
what you said when I brought this up before, you were firmly in the hell no column. Have you changed your mind on this?
I'll do it. I mean, I hate listening to my own voice, but I've had to go back and clip my own stream since no one will help me with it. So I'll do it.
Loki,
I had a migraine the whole episode.
Sure.
Oh. Sure. OMG. The value of this stream just should have doubled.
I can't imagine how long it would be, considering I think we had a lot of music breaks in there.
We
so
did.
I can't
so,
imagine.
So, you know, footnote, obviously I have to work around the music breaks and things like that, so it's not going to be, like, uncut completely, but within reason, we're going to listen to the whole thing. And just talk about, like, the first episode, because there's a lot of stories about that first episode. Like, where the hell did this show come from? Why was it like a house party thing? There's like probably 7 special guests on the first show. Why was it like that? Loki was one of them, technically. Why was the show like that back in the day and so forth? So there's a lot of good stories from back in the day to talk about. So that's going to be a Channel Point reward. Bobby, if you
have...
Oh, sorry. Really important. Bobby, if you haven't already activated it, I was going to say you may want to hold it because we're not going to be here next week. And so that's going to be one less week we can collect the rewards. So, Bobby, I leave it up to you. If you think we'll hit it. Okay. Oh, Bobby says we can extend the time. Okay, perfect. So we'll extend it an additional week for the week, but we're off. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, Jamie, I cut you off, but that was very important because I want to make sure we set a reasonable goal for the Channel Point donations here live
at Twitch. I'm firsties.
All right. You sure are.
So I remember that because, you know, I sometimes get that visual memory in place. So I was on that blue armchair, Lazy Boy or whatever it was, laying across it with a cheap headset on, like one of my work headsets or something. And there was a computer TV right in front toward the middle. And on the other side was the kitchen. In that big vaulted room. Am I right?
That's right. Your mic on the first episode was shitty.
Yeah. because all I had was that headset because we didn't have another mic.
But the first episode of Orange Lounge Radio, and kind of one of the reasons why I'm like, now is a good time to do it, we're coming up on our 19th anniversary. So around the time you guys raised the channel point, because Bobby set a high bar for this one. It's going to be 150,000 points, but it's going to be a good one. It's going to be timed right around our 19th anniversary. And if you think about it, your 19th birthday means you're entering your 20th year, right? And then your 20th mm-hmm. birthday is the celebration of the 20th year, right? Your first birthday is celebration of 1 year. So we are entering our 20th year of Orange Lounge Radio. So I think this is a really interesting way to look back and go like just how far we've come, because it is no secret. Episode one is going to be really, really shitty. And that is why Loki, Dark Soccer, myself, we all kind of don't want to listen to it. But I also think it's a really great thing to do to just go like, look how fucking far we've come, and talk about some of the things we've learned. Like, these are the things in episode one that didn't work at all, you know, and why we do the show differently now. So I actually think there's going to be like a lot to learn from it, and it'll be really cool. And Tiger Claw points out also, you've got to take into account the technology you had at the time wasn't as good as what we have today. And that's very true. Another reason why the first episode of Orange Lounge Radio is garbagey is because we were dial-up friendly radio on Live 365. Remember, mm-hmm. 2002, not everybody had... We had screaming fast DSL at our house. That's how we were able to do this radio thing.
You know what our 20th birthday is going to be? It's going to be our Seijinshiki, which turning 20 in Japan is the coming of age.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to be completely and utterly honest. I absolutely think OLR will make it to 20 years. I think at this point we kind of have an obligation to get to our 20th birthday. I don't know how much further after that. I mean, but keep in mind, before you all panic and go like, oh my God, what is Rob saying? We said this back like the second year of the show. Like, if we actually hit episode 573, we have no life. We're idiots. And now here we are on like episode 870. But yeah, and Bobby says that in chat. Rob also said this at the 10th birthday and the 15th birthday. So I'm saying it again. I don't know how we, like, the show will get to its 20th birthday, yes. Will it get to its 40th? I don't think it can. I just don't think it can.
We'll be geriatric.
We will be geriatric. We really will be geriatric millennials or geriatric Gen X, as the case may be. Yeah. Unless we hand the show off to other people, which is a distinct possibility. We've always joked for a long time, Loki's kid, Julian, and somebody else will voluntell. Can do the show in the future. So, anyway.
But you know what, though?
What?
This is going to be kind of an observation, and it's going to make me sound like a really old bitch. But I think that having this incentive to stay up with our current video game culture,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it kind of keeps one young.
Absolutely it does. But then you also, like, you start to look at where video game culture is going sometimes, and you're like, God, like, you know.
We did this.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, I don't want to, like, make anybody freak out or anything, or like, oh my God, is Rob announcing retirement? No. But it is definitely one of those things, like, as you start to approach 20 years, you're like, how much longer are we really going to do this? You know? So we'll see.
Until we're recognized by Guinness.
I guess so.
Actually, well, we haven't submitted to Guinness.
And I think there's a part of that too, that like we keep going because we are the longest running show. If we stop, we're not that anymore, you know? And so I can think of like three other shows that can't wait to snatch the title, which they all worked hard and they've all deserved it. But, and I honestly don't know who's the oldest, but,
we were first.
Yeah, but it's like, if once we stop doing it, we can't really claim that title anymore. So that's kind of, you know. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I know that's the case with me because kids in the neighborhood talk about games and try to dumb it down for me as an adult, and then they get surprised. Oh, yeah. How do you do, fellow kids? Like, yeah, total.
I get it double for being, you know, mostly female.
Even
Oh, you're a girl. You don't play games. I hope you know that it's now more than 50% of gamers out there are female or female identified.
I know, especially with like Gen Z, if you will, or like the younger generation. I thought it was kind of an accepted fact. Boys and girls both play games, period. Like, it's not like it's just part of culture, period. So it is fascinating that some people still hold that archaic perspective, but it's people our age that do, which is unfortunate.
Bobby was saying, sadly, though, since I don't play Fortnite or Warzone, they're like, well, you're not really a gamer. My response to that, well, I actually play good games.
My response to that would be like, all right, listen here, you little shit. We're going to and that's exactly what I would say to that child.
Like,
listen here.
I actually am playing good games.
Listen here, you little shit.
Suck.
Challenge that kid to a tournament on the Atari 2600 game of your choice and watch them cry. You know, no, even better. Challenge them to Mega Man 2. Or one of those, or Battletoads. Challenge them to Battletoads. See how well they do. Make them cry for saying what they said, Bobby.
And they said, play through Guardian Legend on TGL mode. I'll wait.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwell says, a friend's 9-year-old started trash talking me about Smash Brothers. And his dad was like, oh, you know not what you're doing, sweet summer child.
Yeah.
Usually when I get teabagged by Survivors and Dead by Daylight, I'm like, they're a 13-year-old. I know it. God, that makes me
so angry. Oh, no. I've seen the adult ones do it. And you know what's funny? This is a big reason why I like playing Plague. It's because all I have to do is get the blood puke in. It chases them out immediately. And then I get the extra blood points.
Let's get into some gaming news. Sorry, we had quite the tangent there, and it was just basically old man yell at, and woman yell at cloud, but you know, it is what it is. All right, let's move on to what's going on in the gaming industry this week. Big news about a big title, right, Loki?
Yeah, so Overwatch 2, they basically said that the new game is going to drop the team size down from 6 players to 5. And basically saying that the game has changed over time and we've gone from having no hero limits to it having a hero limit. We introduced new role lock over the course of the game, and we feel that this is the next step to that Overwatch ought to be played. So that's interesting. And then, of course, it has, you know, folks wondering that are on these professional teams with 6 players, you know, am I going to be dropped from the team? So, yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, it's a bit early to see, you know, what's going to happen. But with the change to 5v5, there is a possibility that some of these players will be benched.
Now, I haven't played Overwatch in some time. For those of you in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork that do play more Overwatch currently than I do, is this like some type of response to the fact that not enough people are playing tank, and so the queues are very long for everybody except tank? Like, is this kind of why they're rebalancing it in this way? Because that was my first gut reaction, because I do remember I was playing a little bit when those roles first went live, and yeah, like, you were going to wait in a queue if you weren't a tank, period. So, some folks in chat, ActDef says, kinda. In chat. Okay, good enough for me. S200 Matt says, yeah, the 5-player match thing throws things off already strategy-wise. Well, it is a big change. It is certainly going to separate the sequel from the original, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they really outlined what their exact reasoning was for that. Probably not to anger people, but it's the change that they're making. As of right now, let's, you know, fan backlash, and in which case they could go back on that, but it is what it is.
It's interesting because, ActDeft in chat says they're rebalancing because tanks make it a bit more complicated. I was going to say it's interesting because that creative director guy, Jeff Kaplan, right, was his name? He just left Overwatch not that long ago. You know, again, I don't want to be too, like, conspiracy theorist or whatever, but maybe there were some changes that were coming that he didn't necessarily agree with that the team wanted to do. I don't know. I don't think it's related. I really don't. But it's, I'm certain I'm not the first person to wonder that out loud. So,
Yeah.
Well, I'll still be curious about Overwatch 2. That's for sure. I wish they'd unveil some more characters, and show a little bit more of what the game's actually going to look like. But I guess it's still some time out. So, you know, they're not releasing it this year. We're getting that Diablo 2 remaster this year, and that's about it from, well, and then WoW Classic Burning Crusade just happened. But that's about it. Or no, is happening June 1st, my bad, soon. But that's about it from Blizzard this year. So we have next year Diablo 4, which I'm all about that one, and then Overwatch 2 hopefully to look forward to. So that'll be good. Something else to look forward to that people have been asking for a long time here on Twitch TV is new tags. And I think we've talked about it before on this show.
Heck yeah.
There's a lot of people that have been wanting a trans tag for quite some time to help trans people find each other on the platform. Granted, you know, one of the letters in LGBTQIA is T, but I get it. It's not, you know, that tag is kind of dominated by a lot of cis white women and cis white gay men, like, is kind of like what's there. There's not a lot of other, like it's hard sometimes to find trans people within that tag.
The other one is allies using the LGBTQIA when the A does not stand for ally.
Yes, I get.
So I know ally is getting their own tag.
Yes, that is one of the other 350 tags that is coming. And I also like that one. You know, yeah, believe me, I totally agree. Allies should not be using that tag. I realize they have the best intentions. I don't know anybody.
Not all of them.
Well, okay, you're right. There's always some people that are, but most people, and I'm willing to give most people the benefit of the doubt, had good intentions using that tag for that reason. But that's why, you know, if you educate somebody and say, hey, here's why you shouldn't, most people are going to be pretty good and change it up. But I think it's good that Twitch is coming in and just making the tags a little bit more clear. So here's what's going on. Twitch is going to be introducing 350 plus community tags. That's a lot of tags. And honestly, I couldn't even tell you the entire list. I think it is linked somewhere, but I'm kind of waiting for it to roll out to see what happened. Twitch, in a tweet earlier this week, Friday afternoon, said, "We had planned to share this next week, but we've heard a lot of you talking, and we want to make sure the record is clear. Next week, we'll be adding 350 plus new tags to celebrate yourself and your community." And of course, trans and
that probably came from their blog post about how they're having a dedicated, you know, hot tub channel. And people are like, well, wait a second. Why aren't you addressing this other thing?
You are,
so of course, they had to come and save face.
You are 100% correct. Because they went, I mean, I guess technically we don't know what Twitch was doing, but we do know they put out a blog post that was like, hey, we're not going to ban hot tub streamers because they are quote unquote sexy. Like, we're not banning someone for being conventionally attractive. Like, that's,
they're getting their own category, right?
Exactly. They're getting their own category. And you know what? Cool. I agree. Like, Twitch is more than just gaming, and if that's what somebody wants to do, and if that's what people want to watch, I myself will probably not be watching. I certainly won't be creating that content. Well, maybe a future channel point reward. We'll see. But for the most part, I don't plan to participate. But it doesn't affect me if it exists, right? Because that's the same thing that I'm saying about a lot of these other tags, is that it doesn't change. You know what? Let people have the tags they want and identify how they want. It's not going to change your life whatsoever. And that's kind of how I feel about the hot tub stuff at this point. Let them do their thing. Have fun. But by announcing that that they're getting their own category, absolutely. Everybody responded and said, hey, Twitch, fuck you. Like, we've been asking for a trans tag for over a year, and hot tub streamers get a category first? And it kind of caused a subsequent call out to happen where folks were saying, you know what? I bet Twitch is just sitting on this, and here comes Pride Month, June 1st. They're going to say, oh, look what we're doing for Pride, because we're the greatest company in the world. And here's your rainbow Twitch logo and 350 tags that you've been asking for the longest time. And you know what? Those people with those comments were absolutely right, clearly. And Twitch realized, fuck, if we now announce this on June 1st, the start of Pride Month, we're going to look super performative and that it's just a corporate thing and all this other stuff. And so that's why they announced it Friday afternoon. And they said, we'd plan to announce this next week. Well, what's next week? The weekend leading up to June 1st.
So it was performative.
So it, yes, it was absolutely planned to be this. But you know what? It's movement in the right direction. Yes, we can say about fucking time. Yes, we can say you only did this because XYZ. But I think at the same time, we have to go and we say, but you did it. Thank you. The community asked for this. You're finally giving it to the community. Thank you. Let's move forward and build a stronger community together now that we have what we've been asking for. Let's look forward. And I think there's a lot of people kind of taking that approach. So, let's see. SHO and Hunter Matt says, they apparently worked with organizations like GLAAD and Able Gamers to develop these tags. Yes, that's true. SHO and Hunter Matt also says, you know what, Rob? I didn't think of that, but I totally get it now. LEGO kind of got some of that for the Rainbow Pride set they announced. Yes, and that's kind of what it is. It's like, okay, cool. Everybody's gay in June. Awesome. How are you the rest of the year? And this is what a lot of marginalized communities, again, I'm not black. I'm not going to in any way try to speak for that community. But a lot of message that I hear from folks is February, yes, is, you know, Black History Month. But it would be really great if we learned about black people 365 days a year. Like, that should be a thing that we learn about in schools and in curriculum. Juneteenth should be a thing that we learn about in schools. And not just like, oh, you know, February, this, right? And that is,
and it should
very,
also really be a nationally recognized holiday.
It is a very similar discussion when it comes to things like pride. Is it's like, that's great, you know. And again, it's kind of like one of those, I'm sure you have good intentions, but how do you treat, how did the policies of your company treat gay people, trans people, and all sorts of marginalized people the rest of the time of the year? That's what this boils down to. So, and DJ Rama S responds, Rob, I feel this so hard in February. And Bond Sublo 6 says, you hit the effing nail on the head, Rob. How are you the rest of the year? Dark Tetsuya says, Mishkin says, thank you from over on the couch during playing Final Fantasy 14. You're welcome, because I've learned a lot of this from you guys. And you want to go back to 20 years of Orange Lounge Radio, and you know, even though I'm aging us faster and so forth, and what is different between episode one and today, I've learned a lot of shit. I've learned a lot of shit. And I think a lot of you guys have too. I think we've all learned from each other. And that's one beautiful thing about all of this. So, okay. Anyhow, where was I? Oh, yes. I was talking about the Twitch tags.
Girl.
What else do we have? I've been talking about the trans tag, but it's important to note, the other tags are going to be related to gender, sexual orientation, race, nationality, ability, mental health, and more. Black, disabled, veteran, VTuber. I'm very sorry to show my ignorance here. I do not know what VTuber
is. VTuber, virtual YouTubers. Or virtual streamers.
Have
virtual avatar streamers.
Oh, okay. I did not know what that meant. Sorry. Okay, they're going to remove references to ally from that tag and give allies their own tag, as we were talking about before. I'm of this mindset that, like, if you are streaming on Twitch, you should be an ally in the first place. And, like, people that aren't should be, and I, when I say ally, I don't mean just LG, I don't mean just, I mean the new flag that also has black and brown in it.
A decent human being.
Yes, like that, and that's always the thing that kind of got me about it, is that like Twitch should just, like, if you can't treat people different than you decently, I don't think you should be on this platform. Like, you know, go start your own website. You shouldn't be on this one, but that's, I don't know, maybe folks think I'm a little bit too harsh with that, but I... You don't have to sit there and scream gay rights on your stream. You don't have to do that. But, like, you can, like, not say fag on your stream. You cannot do that.
But, Rob.
What?
The whole thing of having an ally tag, though, has extra meaning for me as an asexual person.
Of course.
We are a very overlooked minority in the community. A couple of the streamers that, you know, I'm pretty much a regular in their chats, like Losing Color, Puddins, Nick and Prince, a few of them. It's opened up that conversation in a few of those chats about, and there's people in there who legit don't know that the A does not stand for ally.
I totally get it. Yeah.
And going in and educating people and having them be receptive to it. has been amazing.
You're right. And Darsakura, I think I might be talking about a mindset that has existed on Twitch that will get better maybe because of this and because it's going to be separated and so forth. And I would bet, I haven't looked, but with 350 tags, I have no choice but to assume asexuality is going to be a tag.
I really do hope so.
I can't confirm that, but yeah. Anyway.
I really do hope that it is. If transgender is going to have their own tag, us ace folks need one too. Or, you know, the non-binary community tends to be also overlooked too because people are so stuck in this binary point of view. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm also wondering, since they were bringing up religious identity and nationality, if I'm going to see like a Jewish tag or a Muslim tag or something like that.
Maybe. Well, I guess we'll see. I don't know if they've published the list, but we'll find out next week. That's for sure.
Peer-to-peer had Jewish as an identity on there, which of course I put in right away, because I don't really find many people who are outwardly, you know, public about their about being Jewish on Twitch. And I think that when you see that, you know, if you look past the stereotypes and see that we're all just like people, that it would remove some of the stigma.
Mm-hmm. What else is I going to say with it? Oh, I was just going to say, I'm glad that Twitch is doing this. I was always kind of like a little bit surprised. Like I think if I was kind of like in charge of Twitch, like how might I have done this? I might have had ways that you can identify you, the streamer, or your community and tags that play into this. You know, honestly, the fact that I'm in my 40s and streaming on Twitch, I think is worthy of a tag of some sort because, you know, we are, there's not a lot of folks in their 40s that are streaming on Twitch. There really isn't. I would like to have a tag so that people know I'm a gay guy that plays games and you know, other things that speak to me as well. And I think for like your community and for yourself. And then so you would have tags for that are kind of like permanent for your, well, not permanent. You can always change them, but they're like account wide, if you will, account wide tags. And then the streams that you create have their own tags. So it's like, okay, I am the 40-something gay guy that is doing a hot tub stream today, you know, or whatever it is. Or I am doing a retro stream where, because hot tub is going to be a category now, and people might say, oh, it's, you're talking, well, okay, no. And today I'm doing a retro stream where you can ask me anything, and I'm taking audience requests, because those are all things that are tags right now. Like, and I would like to have separated things that way. You're like who you are versus what is in this piece of content that you're making. Do you know where that idea is at? And it works pretty well. Pornhub. And I'll leave it at that. I've
Pornhub
heard.
Pornhub is surprisingly progressive.
I've heard. I okay. wouldn't know myself. All right. Anyhow. Okay. Let's move on. Let's see.
It's my turn.
Yes, it is. Sorry, I was just looking at comments in the chat because Pod Culture is like old fart tag. SJ100 Matt says geriatric millennial tag. Sure, technically I'm Gen X.
I'll add something about that. And this is, and it's not like a toot my own horn because, yay, I have good genes and take care of myself. But like when I've been streaming, I'll legit have people who are surprised that I'm 45.
Mm-hmm.
But I take care of myself. And, you know, I think that people are staying younger longer because we're realizing that attitude is, it's something that society has put on us, that you have these expectations of you. And I think our generation is one of the first ones to break from it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I all the time, you know, will get, oh, well, you can't have remembered that. Or on the phone with my job, you know, I'll be like, oh, yeah, my first computer was a Coleco Atom. Like, you can't have had that. Was it, like, third hand? I'm like, no. You know, but I think that this is the thing that, you know, I'm not so sure that I'm down for the age tag on there. Just because I don't really think it's relevant anymore, except for the mental aspect of it, the perspective that you give.
I suppose. And again, tags are always an opt-in thing. You know, just because they have the tag doesn't mean you have to, you know, and there are some folks within the trans community that would not like to use those tags. And that is completely a person's choice. Some people feel that if they use the tag, they're going to be opening themselves to people coming in to abuse the channel and be shits online, basically. I completely get that. And if somebody doesn't want to use it for that reason, I 100%, 150% support it. Like, I get it. However, I'm also glad. Sorry, Jamie. I'm also very glad that Twitch said, as a part of this statement, we understand. I don't have the exact wording. I'm paraphrasing. Sorry. But basically, like, we understand the concern that these tags could open up channels to abuse. And we want to make clear this abuse is not acceptable on our platform and they are bannable offenses. That was honestly, that part was the best part about this whole announcement to me. Is that they have made it very clear. Harassment has no place on this platform. Good. It shouldn't. Sorry, yeah. Jamie, I cut you off while I was ranting.
Well, I was just saying, you know, with the using the tags like that, like me, I mean, technically as a demigirl, I have been told that I fall under the trans group, but I don't use it because I just don't feel like it's representative of me. I'm borderline, you know, it's so weird.
And that it is 100% your call to make.
Exactly.
Nobody makes that call but you.
Yeah. Exactly. So.
All right. So anyway,
but I was using it as an example.
I'm very curious to see what happens to some of these other websites, like the is it the peer-to-peer? Was that the name of it? The
peer-to-peer, yeah. That's the one that that I got accepted on.
I'm kind of curious where now that these tags are happening. Does a site like that still kind of stick around for the community they've built, or are they going to evolve in some way? I'm just kind of curious.
I think it's still necessary, and I'll tell you why.
Sure, please.
And actually, when I was streaming last week, and I actually kind of fussed at them because I thought it was a bot. But actually, they have people who work with peer-to-peer who are going in to channels and doing promotion for those channels for different people on the peer-to-peer network.
Oh,
and like this one was like called like businessman something, and I was like, oh, somebody blocked this. Like, no, I'm only half a bot. I'm actually really a person here. But, and so we talked about it, and they're like, yeah, we're promoting people who are on peer to peer so that we can, you know, build up more of that acceptance and make sure that these people are given more of a voice. And I was like, oh, well, fine, hang around. I'm cool with that. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. You know, but I think that.
So, like, the literal sense of network, that makes perfect sense and clearly answers my question how that is still totally relevant. Thank you.
I found new streamers through peer-to-peer. Just, you know, I've found games that I've, you know, haven't heard of from watching peer-to-peer.
Okay.
I've really been enjoying the service, and I'm honestly proud to be a part of it.
Neat. No, that's great. And thank you for explaining that, because now that you put it in that light where it's like literally not just about like being on a directory, but the active promotion of people that also agree to those, you know, rules that identify in these different ways that are also on the directory. It's about that mutual promotion and benefit. Oh, yes, I 100% get that. Hello, VOG Network. We're a form of that for like a different thing, like indie voices and stuff. Right. So like when you put it in that context, I'm like, oh, okay, oh, I get. So it's like VOG, but this thing, cool, neat.
Well,
so.
And we may have some new VOG additions down the line. Just saying.
Well, we're still open too, you know, especially folks that want to do the Twitch thing. I mean, yes, we have room for podcasters as well, and we have great shows that have been on our network a long, long time that still do the audio only thing, like British Invaders. If you have never heard me talk about them, they are a wonderful show that talk about British television, and you will find out about so many neat shows you need to dig out of an archive and watch. That just like how we got from, you know, older shows in the 50s and 60s to now and so forth. It's great. And then we have, of course, shows that are on video, like Us, Bobby, Anime Jam Session. My point was, we're always, you know, I've admittedly been very sleeping on a lot of this during the pandemic, and some folks have even reached out to me, and I've just been kind of like, this whole thing has just been a lot, and like, honestly, status quo right now is an achievement, if I can be perfectly honest. Throughout this pandemic, status quo has been an achievement. But now that we're getting to the other side of things, I definitely need to go back on the motivation side of things. So, all right.
I get it.
Yeah. All right. Dark Sakura, we've been teasing this next story the entire show, so let's talk about it.
All right. So I have incentive to play No Man's Sky, which, for the record, it's not going to run on my Mac. I have to see if I can run it in my virtualizer. But at any rate, there's a crossover with No Man's Sky from Mass Effect, and this lasts until the 31st, so time is indeed of the essence. But basically, you can do a mission that will let you, I guess, build the Normandy?
Acquire. Yes,
you
basically call it. You call in it the as you play it. It hints that there is like something, and there's very subtle hints through the whole thing where it's like something that is called to action when it is most desperately needed, and it's like mixed up with radio interference. And it says two worlds colliding, coming together. So it's like hinting that it's a crossover. And then when you finally finish the last thing and you put this beacon out, it kind of like summons the Normandy into the orbit of the planet that you're on, and you can go claim it for your own your fleet.
Would this be something I can do as a new player?
Yes, because they've put it in a new mode called Expeditions, which is the mode that's kind of like Diablo Seasons, where you start a new game. It's the only way you can do it. You start a new game in Expeditions mode, and Expeditions mode sets you up with certain stuff to begin with. So, and another hint, the very first thing that you do in this is you build a car that looks a lot like the Mako. It's the very first thing you do. And you drive to where your ship is at, basically.
How long did it take you to do?
About 5 hours of gameplay. So Keep that in mind, too. You do have to put in the time. You're not going to be able to just go in there and...
So I could get it done tonight after my stream.
Yeah. So...
As long as I'm actually right now seeing if I can put it on my Windows desktop, my virtual desktop.
Mm-hmm. So,
let's hear it for gigabit Ethernet.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks like it's really cool. Now I guess I probably should have just had you do this story, Rob, because you've actually done this. But, do you get to go inside the Normandy? Is it the same ship on the inside?
So, and I think they did this purposely because they knew that people would want to go inside it and do all this stuff. And I don't think No Man's Sky Engine is really built for that. You can't use it as your own ship because the ships in No Man's Sky are very individualistic. They're tiny little flying pods. To suddenly have the Normandy and all of its crew and all that stuff doesn't really gel with the lore. So what they did is they made the Normandy a fleet ship, and fleets go with your frigates and the missions that you send those out on. You acquire different fleet ships to send out on missions. So Normandy is basically becomes like an agent that you send out to do separate missions and come back and bring you stuff. But it is like, it's an S class. It's the very best type that you don't see every day. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Also, and it's also worth pointing out because a lot of the tweet focused on the ship and everything, you actually unlock other stuff. So as you're doing the missions and, you make your way, you start to see more and more of what you get. And when you finish it all, you get titles. You get the Paragon and the Renegade. So you unlock
That's
those
cool.
titles. You actually get a sticker or like I forget what they call them, a logo, a splash, I don't know. But you get that you could put on your base. So you get it, and it just looks like the Normandy. And you also get... something else along those lines too, where it's like a art thing of the Normandy that you actually pick up and you can use on your base. Now, are you stuck using this in your seasonal file? Because the expeditions turn to regular games at the end of the expedition. And the answer is no, you're not limited to it. So once you claim that, or once you've finished your season stuff, you can go back in your main game and you're going to summon the Space Anomaly. That's the hub that you're able to summon a little ways into the story in the main game. In the season game, you can get it right from the start. But you summon the Space Anomaly, and in there is a vendor. And he's the same one that had the Twitch rewards from all those things during the first expedition. And you talk to him, and he now has an expedition reward category. And you can just pop the Normandy into your fleet from there, get your sticker, get your titles, get all that stuff that it gives you right off the bat.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to see if it'll run in my virtualizer. If not, I guess that's what my Steam Link is going to be for my PC that I'm still looking at with slight loathing because of how often it would just restart.
Bobby Black Wolf asks a great question in chat that I honestly don't know the answer to, and that is, do we know if this goes cross-platform if you linked all your accounts? I don't know, but if I remember after the show, and you may need to nudge me with a tweet, I will log into my Steam account and check out my No Man's Sky file there. I think I can get the Space Anomaly in my Steam account. If not, I'll just fucking play it again until I can, and I'll answer that question. So I'll try to do it. Because I actually don't know. And that's a great question. And I doubt anyone listening currently is crazy enough to own that game on multiple platforms like I do. Although I did not buy the Xbox One. I'm using Game Pass to do it.
I only have it on Steam.
But I think it is a great question that you're asking. So I will try to remember to do that after the show. But you may need to nudge me if I don't respond because I forget things. So, all right. Yeah. But yeah, it's an awesome collaboration. It's so random. But it's so short. I wish they would have given at least till mid-June. I get that it doesn't take as long to finish, but I think you have a lot of people that haven't been interested in No Man's Sky that are suddenly like, oh, I want to fly up and around. Because the nice thing is, Dark Sakura, and this is right up your alley, when the Normandy is just floating there in space, you can take your ship and you can fly all around it and underneath it and up close. And over, you can just like, you know, look at the Normandy from any direction you want. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
I love the Normandy.
Yeah, me too. All right, let's move on. Loki, something exciting in your world, in your fandoms, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Deep Silver, I mean, there's been rumors that there's a new Time Splitters game being worked on for a long time. In fact, there's been several iterations with different companies that happening. But now we've got something official actually coming. Thanks to Deep Silver. So Deep Silver put out a tweet announcing that Deep Silver Studio is coming, Free Radical Design, or a new Deep Silver Studio. And so they're bringing back Free Radical Design, which actually closed back in 2014. But they're bringing back the original, like, veteran Steve Ellis and David Doak. And basically said, you've asked, we've listened, we've been working on plans of bringing Time Splitters franchise back to life. And are pleased to let you know that we are doing just that. Free Radical Designs is reforming and will be headed up by industry and Time Splitters veterans. This is an exciting first step in the process. So I am super excited about that. That is amazing. So I can't wait for a new Time Splitters game.
I hope they do it justice for you, Loki, because sometimes they get the gang back together and it's like, you know,
there's not much to the formula, really. I mean, it's an FPS with like weird, quirky stuff in it, and I think that's a pretty easy bar to hit.
I think about things like Mighty Number 9, and I know that game had its fans, and you know, I don't, yeah. But yeah, you see that was my reaction too, Loki.
I see them being able to do it, especially if you have the original developers on it and stuff. I think it'll be fine.
All right. Orange Wright in chat says, I remember spending some time in Time Splitters one level editor. SJ100 Matt says, we've been teased a new Time Splitters game for a while. I hope they pull it off. Yeah, I think that'll be fun.
Well, now that they've got it, because before, like, that was with, like, we've had, like, kind of work in progress things that were being made by either fans or being made by studios that have closed down and stuff like that. So now that they have a publisher, they have a studio, I think and they've said, yes, we're making it. That's a pretty good indicator that it's coming.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. It'll probably be too soon to see details on the Time Splitter game this summer, but we know we're going to be getting a lot of game announcements as we get closer to summer. Of course, E3 is on the horizon, and there are other virtual events that are happening as well, including Summer Game Fest is coming back this year, and we knew that for some time. Now, Summer Game Fest last year, I think people were kind of happy it was there, but it was also kind of hard to follow because Summer Game Fest was like 4 months long. Remember that? Like, it was like Summer Game Fest is running from June to September, and it was like, that isn't really a fest, right? Well, it does seem like Jeff Keighley, who of course is the brains behind all of this, you know him from his Game Awards show and all that, it does seem he's picked up on a lot of that feedback, because he's kind of saying in some tweets that he put out this week that basically, like, I get the feedback that people like to have this information dump kind of like at one time, and that, you know, it's going to be like a memorable month. He says, you know, this will be a memorable month of announcements and updates. So what Summer Game Fest is going to be, they're going to have a kickoff. They're calling it Kickoff Live. They're not saying what they're kicking off, but it's kind of like a wink and a nod. It's an E3 kickoff, but not officially, because E3...
All soccer games.
Yeah. No, not that kind of kickoff. But E3 is doing a kickoff. Oops. Nope. No, they're not. As Summer Game Fest is doing a kickoff that may or may not be inspired by E3, Thursday, June 10th. And it's at 11 a.m. Pacific time, which, so Bobby was talking before the show, oh, we might co-stream this. Hey, go for it if you're able to, but I will unfortunately be busy with my day job, and that is not the greatest time for that. But I also understand it's in line with a lot of the E3 stuff, which tends to be during the day as well. 30 publishers are taking place, are taking part in Summer Game Fest. Some that are not with E3, including PlayStation, Blizzard, Devolver Digital, so maybe we'll get more on that game you were just talking about, Louie. Electronic Arts, who's doing their EA Play Live thing still. So that's kind of cool. Also, I don't know why, but Weezer is performing at the kickoff. Well, that's fun. I mean, cool. Weezer's cool.
Yeah.
Of course, I look at the promo photo of Weezer and I go, oh shit, they got old. Oh shit, so did I.
Oh no.
Oh no. Oh no. But sorry, I'm not being shady, I promise. Weezer's awesome. I'm just, you know, like, oh shit, they got old. So did I. Apparently, also, Jeff Keighley loves to do the co-stream stuff and allow that stuff, which I'm very thankful for, and I think that's a great way to do it. You're allowed to co-stream. Apparently, you can even co-stream the musical performance, because it's a live performance, so it shouldn't hit any of those, whatever, but he has the rights to do all that.
It shouldn't.
That's true. That's true.
But it probably will.
All right. So that'll be cool. I can't wait to... I mean, I can't co-stream it, but I can work on a project while I have my earbuds in listening to it. I can do that. So that'll be cool. And I look forward to listening to it when it all goes down on June 10th. So let's see. RHM087 in chat says, will the Twitch stream have to have generic rock? Well, that depends on what you consider Weezer. When I read that comment at first, I thought it said geriatric rock. And I was like, wait, hold on. It's not the Rolling Stones, okay? It's not AC/DC, okay? It's and I'm sorry if you love those bands. They're great bands. But if Weezer got old, have you seen Aerosmith lately? Like, really? All right.
He's melted a bit.
All right. Anyway. Let's move on.
I was on mute. I was gonna say, look at the Rolling Stones. Keith Richards has to recycle his blood.
Oh yeah, right. Oh my gosh. And ActDev says, I think RHM087 is talking about what happened with Metallica at BlizzCon. You're right. I do remember that, how they replaced it with generic rock. But let's remember, Metallica was at the forefront of screwing online music distribution. I realize they've come a long way, but that is a flag they're going to have to carry for forever, basically, what they did to Napster back in the day. You can't help but think about that. But I am... confident enough that Jeff Keighley has thought of these sorts of questions, because he keeps tabs on things like when the Blizzard stream got muted and changed to the generic rock. Like, Jeff Keighley, so I have confidence he's gotten all the contracts and things that need to happen so that your Weezer songs don't get your stream a copyright strike, which is great.
There's a reason I make my own music.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, and that's been a great thing too, is that like
copyright strike myself.
All right, let's move
on. Funny they said that, but that's actually a legitimate strategy to get past some of those copyright strikes in YouTube, is a copyright strike yourself.
So weird. All right, let's move on. Dark Soccer, you have a very interesting story here.
Yeah, so, and this is, you know, kind of an important thing for me as someone who plays on things like Stadia. But Netflix, honestly, is now looking for an executive, this is a report, to head an expansion into video games. the report says that they've reached out to multiple veteran video game industry executives for the position. And this is kind of going along with what some other companies did, like Apple Arcade came out with a bundle of games, and then has been pretty consistent with its updates. And, you know, we have Stadia, we have GeForce Now. We've got those different things. So it stands to reason that Netflix is going to want to get in on that action, and I'm pretty sure they can make it profitable. And on top of that, you know, they've also did interactive video stuff like the Black Mirror Bandersnatch and the Kimmy Schmidt episode. And then they've also done series based off of video game properties. I mean, we had Castlevania, we had The Witcher. And they've also produced games. There were the Stranger Things games, which, of course, they also licensed out Stranger Things to Behavior for Dead by Daylight. And the other thing, though, that's going on is that since Netflix subscriptions have slowed down because of their production delays, that they've gone out and said in 2019 that their biggest competition was Fortnite. So the fact that they would want to expand into these other fields, you know, especially for video game streaming, it really makes sense to me. I think it would be a wise move on their part, although they've got other established outlets, you know, that are already going to be a step ahead of them.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I know we're talking about kind of like literal games here that Netflix might build in, you know, like literal games. And it would be interesting to see how that's all delivered, if it's through their app or how they get the game stuff on all the televisions and stuff they support. But it's possible, probably, with a very, you know, like a Android, you know, type of base for all the games, it would probably work. But kind of something you said there at the end made me think about like actual like video game streaming content. And we talk a lot about how Twitch is really out here unopposed. I mean, yes, there's YouTube.
There's another one that went down the
different. Mixer that used to be Beam back in the day. So, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if somebody like Netflix try to do like a Twitch thing? Like, maybe not necessarily letting anybody create content, although I'm all about that, and I hope that is the direction a company that would choose to do that would do. But what if a company like Netflix tried to woo some of these big game streamers with large audiences to create content for Netflix? That would be wild.
It would be.
Like a ninja type thing that's on Netflix. I hate to invoke him because he's always the person that people talk about, but there's a reason for that. You know, his streams are huge. So it would be interesting. So
it would.
Yeah, but RHM 087 in chat says, right now, for me, Netflix's biggest competition is YouTube. And there is that, is because YouTube is basically free. You know, the ads and all that stuff.
I have a paid YouTube premium account.
Yeah, I think there's a thing with Google phones, too, where that, like, because I think Alan has, like, a premium account that he gets because he has an Android phone of some type. So I don't know how all that works. But yeah, it's interesting. So, all right.
Well, and on top of that, now, I think that for Twitch streamers, I think once you make partner, you are allowed to stream to YouTube as well.
Really?
I don't know. I was reading something about doing multiple streaming. I mean, I don't plan on doing any YouTube streaming. It's just the thing is that with Stadia, it has an automatic ability to stream to your YouTube account if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. That was a big thing they were selling in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, which I don't want to do.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, let's move on. Loki. You're muted, by the way, Loki. We can't hear you. So
sorry, kids were yelling in the background.
That's
so this is pretty cool. We had a mod that's been made for Red Dead Redemption 2 to add VR support, in the sense that they add basically a point of view with VR. They're still working out the controls and everything, but Red Dead Redemption 2 is a pretty gorgeous looking game as it is, so it makes for a very immersive experience. So this is coming actually by the guy that did the same thing, Luke Ross. He did the same thing for Grand Theft Auto 5. And right now you can only run it on really high-end hardware. They're saying that he's basically tested it on just the top-of-the-line, you know, RTX 3080s and stuff, and it's still kind of not smooth yet, but it's still being worked on. But man, it looks pretty awesome. Like, I don't know that I would love to try that out someday, but I don't have the hardware to run that. So
I always think it's weird.
If you're interested,
I always think it's weird when they inject VR into things that weren't really built for VR. But I also think, like, you know, for, like, let's say a game like No Man's Sky, where the developers admittedly were the ones that kind of built that, they kind of made the game work well for it. Like, I think No Man's Sky is a pleasant experience in VR. I wouldn't want to play the game 24/7 in that way or, like, all the time. But I thought when I did play it, I was like, damn, this looks good.
It's been a long time since I played Red Dead Redemption 2, but I know, like, with Grand Theft Auto 5, they had the first-person view that you could do. I can't remember if they had something similar to that in Red Dead Redemption. If that's the case, then it'd be very easy to adapt it to VR because you already have, like, that kind of same camera already set up. Maybe they do. I can't remember because, like I said, it's been, gosh, like, over a year since I played that game. But, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty awesome. So, yeah, hopefully it'll be developed a little bit, you know, they'll work out the kinks with it and it'll be playable on something that's not so screaming cutting edge right now, or, well, just wait a little bit longer and eventually it'll be, you know, that won't be cutting edge anymore. So we'll have to wait and see.
Something you're unable to acquire because of fucking scalpers, right? So,
well, right. And that, and the fact that I use a laptop, so I can't update that thing anyways. I gotta buy a new one.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on, we have a story that talks about the Evercade system, which I think this is cute. I kind of want one. Like, we brought it up before, and I'm kind of like, oh, it's another kind of retro thing. There's a lot of these out there.
This is the one I was telling you. Well, we talked about it a little bit before, but is the one also that had some Nest Maker games on there.
Yeah.
So they have several guys in the community that have made games, have their games published on this, which is awesome.
That is.
I'm open. Hey, you want to approach me?
Somebody call. I got a phone. I'm waiting for it to ring. Well, right now, Loki, they're a little busy because they're going to be doing some not indie, but some other big publishers of the past doing some compilations there. They're going to be released on November 3rd. Pre-orders start May 28th. They're going to cost $20 or 15 euros, if you will. They are compilation cartridges, which include Atari Arcade 1, which has things like Pong, Warlords, Lunar Lander, Asteroids, Data East, which has Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja, Burger Time, Lock and Chase, Chain Reaction, Jalico Arcade with Alligator Hunt, Snowboard Championship, World Rally, and then Technos Arcade, which has the Combat Tribes, Double Dragon 2 and 3, Dr. John's Adventure, Mysterious Stones, Minky Monkey, some games I haven't even honestly heard of, to be real. But I love the idea of, like, these, like, super retro games in cartridges so that you're not, like, accumulating all these little mini players that play, like, five games. You have one mini player and cartridges. That's kind of cool. It's, like, a legit way to do it. So that's neat. I'm kind of interested in one of these things when I haven't been for a long time. So,
well, remember, they also have the full console version of this that's coming out that's going to play, have two cartridge slots. So, for example, if you wanted to load up Data East and, you know, Atari or something like that, you can pop them both in and you have all those games you can choose from on there. So you can just have a larger library and swap them out as you need to. But they also have the handheld version as well that's available.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a trip back down memory lane. It was a simpler to... Oh, my gosh. I may have ruined it, but well, you'll see. It was the classic game of the week because I hit the wrong button that actually showed the game. So maybe you recognize it, but if you didn't, Dark Soccer is here to educate you on it. And I bet a lot of people didn't recognize that game because this is one that's, for me, at least for me, is a little bit more of a deep cut. I wouldn't have recognized it off that half a second clip I just leaked through there. But Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out. Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week? You're muted, just FYI. I can't see your camera, but...
Okay.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
The game is Aero Fighters, which is also known as Sonic Wings in Japan. It's a vertically scrolling shooter that came out in arcades in 1992. It was released by Video System and got ported over to the Super Famicom in 1993. It was the first in this series. Also a spiritual successor to a 1991 game called Turbo Force. It's a basic shooter. You know, you have your normal weapons. You can upgrade your weapons with P items or rarer F items. And then, of course, your maximum power level does have a hidden ammo count, which, of course, after you use that up, you'll be reduced back to your previous power level. Button 2 has a special attack. It really... The thing that made this a little bit more famous is that it had a cast of characters, which in 1992 wasn't really something that happened regularly in a shooting game. So, it had, from the United States, its character was called Blaster Keaton. Then player two was Keith Bishop. Then in Japan, you had Hien, and then Mao Mao for player two. Sweden, you had Kofol the Viking, and then TB10. And then for UK, you had William Sid Pride and Lord River in White. And White. So, yeah, you had your own characters, each of them with their own special special plane. Well, of course, you know that the two U.S. ones, one was an F-A-18 Hornet and the other was an F-14 Tomcat, because, I mean, hello. But anyway, this was considered, according to Game Machine in Japan, the second most successful table arcade unit of the year. And it was the second most popular arcade game at the time. It did come out on the SNES, as I mentioned. GamePro gave it a pretty negative review because it slowed down, had slowdown issues and mediocre graphics and some sound effects issues. The music in it wasn't super great. It did also get an emulated version in 2005 for PS2 for a Japan exclusive Oretachi Gessen Zoku series. It had a number of sequels that came out. It looks like that the main designer, Nakamura Shin, did not like that they wanted to develop for Neo Geo and wanted to make more vertical games like that, but couldn't do it for a horizontal monitor. So he formed Psykyo, P-S-I-K-Y-O, and did Samurai Aces for their first game. Anybody's heard of that? So... at Video System, however, they did Aero Fighters 2, Aero Fighters 3, both came out on Neo Geo. Sonic Wing Special, which was like a Dream Match version, was released on Sega Saturn and PlayStation. Special was also reworked into arcades as Sonic Wings Limited. And then Paradigm Entertainment developed Aero Fighters Assault for Video System. And so, of course, Sonic Wing Special and Limited were both vertical monitor games. Nakamura, who I mentioned earlier, went on for Strikers 1945 Plus for Neo Geo. A popular culture thing is that John Green, you know, who we know from Mental Floss and all that... in the Savannah airport, mistakenly read it as Nerd Fighters. And so they had Nerd Fighters and Nerd Fighteria as a collective title for him and his brother's fan community. So I thought it was kind of funny. And then in 2013, he was given an Aero Fighters arcade cabinet as a gift. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is that the SNES copy of this can go for some bucks. On eBay, on average, for a boxed copy... this one's an unboxed copy that has even been scratched in on it is going for $1,200. I think I have this game, though. I really do. I have to check. There's another one for $1,700 that is, again, just the cartridge. I haven't seen what one in the box goes for. I'm pretty sure I own this game. And it does look like there is... Now, I am seeing one on another site, though, that says new in the box US version retail for $40. So I don't know if it's like a legit one, but Who knows? But at any rate, you know, good luck. It is, yeah, I don't know if this is legit. It doesn't, it looks a little bit too clean to be legit, so I'd have to double check. But yeah, it is, it's a game that's kind of hard to find.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is a repro.
All right. Well, is that it? That's Classic Game of the Week?
That's the Classic Game of the Week. I didn't have a lot to say about it, but I brought it up as one that, for some reason, it's going for money.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of people checking their collections at home going, do I still have a cartridge? Because some folks recognized it in chat, not just from the starting screen, but once you were talking a little more about it, and we actually saw the gameplay, it was like, oh, yeah, this, I've played this. So that would be interesting if any of our listeners happen to have this little gold mine sitting in their house. So good pick. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Classic Game of the Week. All right. Oh, I see that Stella decided to join us. Loki's cat, for those listening on the podcast feed and can't see the picture. But Stella's decided to join us there during the break. Oh, she looks so comfortable.
Hi,
I love
pretty
it.
Girl.
I hate.
Well, yeah, she's either comfortable or screaming.
She has two moods. All right. Well, I
two
hate.
Two moods. Resting and possum.
I hate to make you move, Loki, because Stella looks perfectly comfortable.
Fine.
But it's time for rapid fire news.
All right. So as we were just talking about Red Dead Redemption 2, it should be no surprise that we're getting Grand Theft Auto 5 on the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. Three generations of consoles in the same stupid game. I love Grand Theft Auto 5, but dude, come on. Like, and this is not coming out until November 11th, so that's a long ways away. Like, can we please get something new? Please? I don't really want to play Grand Theft Auto Online. I just want Grand Theft Auto 6, please. Can I have that, please?
Somebody put an interesting timeline out that really shows that, like, Rockstar hasn't done that much in the past few years.
They're making so much money off of Grand Theft Auto Online.
I guess so. Yeah, it's crazy.
But like,
well, also, games
yeah.
take longer to make, especially huge AAA titles with 4K graphics and stuff. They're going to take longer to make, and I understand that. But when you like really see like what the wait is like now versus what it used to be, it's like, where is Grand Theft Auto 6?
But with that, Grand Theft Auto 5, I want to say, came out it's been several years. Was that 2015? No, that wasn't 2015. 2013.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It will be 8 years in September. So I think that's enough time to develop a Grand Theft Auto game, considering that this one didn't take as long. Granted, they have gone through multiple systems, but I just think that they're making so much money on Grand Theft Auto Online that they just aren't really motivated to make another game.
So if we're going to get games that just won't stop being made, where's my Xbox Series X version of Skyrim? I mean, I guess they have like the boost ups from the Xbox One X, you know,
yeah.
I guess there's that, but that's, I guess, where's my Series X version of Skyrim?
Soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think we'll see a remaster of Oblivion pretty soon.
Oh, you do? Hmm.
I think Oblivion or, I don't know, maybe one of the Fallout games? We haven't remastered 4 yet. Maybe they'll do a remaster of Fallout 4. It'd be nice if they did New Vegas or something like that. But, like, I'll whatever. You know what? I don't care. You know, Skyrim, though, like, we give it crap because they keep re-releasing it. But that game is thoroughly enjoyable time I play it.
Yeah, it is
so
an amazing game.
I have no complaints whatsoever with that. Like, I will play that game a million times. Like, it's no big deal.
Zen Monkey has a good comment in her chat here over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork who says, I don't think Rockstar is taking too long. I think consoles are just coming out too fast. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess. And technically, yeah. I mean,
I feel like it's been the same rate, but I also get, I think it's more like the demands of what the new consoles require. You know, if they want to make Grand Theft Auto 6 a cutting edge, beautiful, it's going to be a 4K game that's going to take longer to make. You know?
Yeah, I guess I have to be patient. And really, I should probably give Online another chance because they have a ton of content out there. Like,
yeah.
It really is. But I'm kind of old school in the sense that I like the old expansions that they used to have, you know, with like single player storylines and stuff. I don't necessarily like the having to pay for absolutely everything in Grand Theft Auto Online. Like, buying stuff is fine, but paying to insure my car, paying rent for my apartment, paying to, you know, it's a lot of like grind that they purposely put in the game to make money. I just wish they'd get rid of it.
Our chat room is pointing out that in 2 more years, Grand Theft Auto 5 will be eligible for Classic Game of the Week.
Probably be releasing yet another version of it.
Rapid fire news. Whoops.
Sorry, I think the cat wants to leave here.
Oh, okay, right. That's fine. Bye-bye. It's Stella's world. We're just living in it. It's fine.
I'm sure now she's going to sit here screaming at me.
Yeah. That's fine. The listeners love it. They're like, kitty, 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 yay. So it's let her scream.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, of course, Last of Us 2 is getting an update on PlayStation 5. They're going to be doing an enhancement patch to that, kind of similar to what we see on Xbox Series X, where they're upping the FPS from 30 to 60. So that's pretty awesome, and that'll be coming soon.
Nice. All right, Dark Sakura, what do you have? You're also muted.
I've only been muting myself because I have curry rice.
That's fine. Eating in the mic is a good thing.
Well, right, but sometimes, you know, people got to eat. People have really, 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 really wanted the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer to come back. And we know it's not there in the Legendary Edition, but their project producer, Mac Walters, in a CNET interview, basically said he would never say no to it coming back in some form. He's quoted saying, "We want to see what kind of reception the Legendary Edition gets and what demand for the multiplayer is. And then we'll ask ourselves if we have the resources and time to bring it up to the quality level that fans want." So, cool. I hope that happens.
Make it cross-platform or don't bother. Right. In my opinion, my strong opinion. By the way, you'll notice I didn't mention Mass Effect my game of the week. I've put the game after everything that I went through last week, my emotions on the show. I said, you know what? I think is best right now. I'm just going to put that game on hold. Like it's a timeless trilogy. I'll love it when I play through it. I'll play through it in a couple months. Like once a lot of these patch issues and all that crap gets sorted out, then I'll play it. You know, why do I need to play it right fucking now? You know? I discovered Mass Effect as a trilogy late. I didn't discover it in 2007 when the first game came out or whatever it was. I discovered it way later. So you know what? Cool. Anyway, but I would be down with multiplayer. Don't get me wrong. And I think there's money in it for BioWare because, you know, they could charge for the packs and things like that, and they'll get their money. But we'll see.
Yeah. So at any rate, now, and this is something I don't know that we brought up on this show, but it's definitely something that's impacted a lot of manga and video game fans is Miura Kentaro, who was the mangaka behind Berserk, died at 54. And of course, we know we've had a couple of Berserk games. There was the one on Dreamcast that came out in the U.S. A while back.
Dark to see BJ called out you've done one as the Classic Game of the Week way back when, but one of them you highlighted. Yeah,
I know. But what as I was saying. It had BJ Ward as one of the voice actors in it, and Michael Bell as Guts. So two Voltron voice actors. But at any rate, because one of the Final Fantasy 14 classes, the Dark Knight, was heavily influenced by the character of Guts. In one of the servers, I'm trying to see which server it was. Baomung. In Ulda, they had a bunch of Dark Knights just standing in a row with their pose with their ginormous sword over their shoulder to pay tribute to his passing. And the same thing was happening in some of the other servers as well, just different similar vigils. Since the Dark Knight was, you know, really inspired by Gatsu, then, of course, Miura had a lot to do with that. Of course, his mark has shown up in many other character classes and games. So, the other sad thing for me is that this means Berserk is never going to have an ending. It actually, the last arc left off in Berserk that I was reading had Casca getting her personality and memory back, but with a big hitch in her relationship with Guts. So I don't know if we're ever going to see that end, if he's left any kind of successor. So I don't know what'll happen.
Baomeng, by the way, I think is probably still the biggest Final Fantasy 14 server. There's like a ton of people that are on it. A lot of roleplay stuff that happens there. So I'm kind of not surprised that this happened on that server. So, yeah. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and talk about some games that are coming out this week. We'll start in the U.S., Loki.
All right. So we have Biomutant on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Capcom Arcade Stadium on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Final Fantasy 14 on PlayStation 5.
Oh, yeah. There's a big patch on Tuesday, and the official release is this week. Yeah.
Yeah. King of the Seas on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Maneater on Nintendo Switch. Saints Row the Third Remastered on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Danganronpa V3 Killing Harmony Anniversary Edition on iOS and Android. Earth Defense Force World Brothers on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Fighting EX Slayer Another Dash on Nintendo Switch. MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries on Xbox One and Xbox Series X. Super Bomberman R Online on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Tentei Bokumetsu on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Warhammer Age of Sigmar Stormground on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And let's see, Song of Horror, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The World's End Club on Nintendo Switch. And finally, Wonder Boy Asha in Monster World on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4.
That's a busy week, but also probably with the summer on the horizon, a lot of folks getting out of school and stuff. It's usually this week before summer, so to speak, is a huge release window, so I'm not too surprised. Yeah. Quite a few things coming out in Japan as well. Maybe not quite as crowded, but still on the Nintendo Switch. Paradigm Paradox comes out on May 27th, as well as a limited edition for that. Tantei Bokumetsu comes out as well. World's End Club gets a release, and it's in English, but that is still being released in Japan. So you have that to look forward to, as well as Liberated. Same thing going on there. You also have Maneater gets its release in Japan this week. That is also on the Switch. Heading over to the PlayStation 5, looks like just one game, Terminator Resistance Enhanced. So there's that on the PlayStation 5. And for the PlayStation 4 this week, you have Tantei Bokumetsu is out there as well. The Last of Us 2 gets a price reduction on PlayStation 4 this week. Biomutant is out this week as well in Japan. And I think that is about it. How about the UK, Dark Soccer?
We have a few things. On the 25th, we have Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster. Also on the 25th, we have Maneater for Switch. Biomutant for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. On the 27th, we have Asterix and Obelix, the XXL Collection for PlayStation and Switch. On the 28th, we have Instant Sports Tennis for Switch. And also for the Switch, Port Royale 4.
All right. That's it. Then we'll move on to some more stories. Loki, I think you have our next story.
Yeah. So we had, I think it was last week, Sony saying that they weren't sure they're going to be able to meet the demand with PlayStation 5. And, Nintendo's like, hey, hold my beer. They're basically saying that they're also uncertain that they're going to meet the insane demand of the Nintendo Switch. So apparently, they've sold a lot and the demand is still too high. Right now, they said they have ads for production. We've achieved steady hardware production through the end of the last calendar year. And as a result, in the previous fiscal year, we set a record of our highest fourth quarter sales volume. Meanwhile, the demand for hardware continues to exceed our expectations, even the beginning of this calendar year. And production has currently not caught up to this high demand due to tight supply and demand for semiconductor materials worldwide. So they're trying, but you know, the shortages, they're affecting everyone.
Gosh, there's just a bunch of shortages that they're still expecting through this year. Like with the whole PlayStation 5, I think the graphics card things come out like this with all these, you know, microchips and things and just a lot of the stuff, you know, because and COVID, honestly, because even though COVID is in one kind of place here in the U.S., that's not what the rest of the world looks like. So there's that as well. And yeah, it's just it's not going to be a pretty year for a lot of those holiday things. So, you know, like I said, I still don't have a PlayStation 5. I don't know if I'm going to get one this year because of all this. Otherwise, around the wintertime, I might be interested in getting one, but I just don't see it actually happening, sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on, and speaking of, you know, the reality that COVID is still alive and well in the U.S. as well as many parts of the world, a lot of folks have noticed Daigo, who is a fighting game professional gamer. He's pretty well known in those communities, has just been released from the hospital. In a tweet on his account, Daigo the Beast, he wrote, "After nearly 2 weeks of treatment, today I was released from the hospital. Extremely grateful to the nurses and doctors for their devoted care. Many thanks to my fans and colleagues for the warm support. It will take time to get back to normal, but I'm so glad I'm recovering." So it sounds like, from what I was picking up on, he actually got like a pneumonia as a result of COVID. And that is a very scary situation. I had a friend many years ago, and some of you might remember this on the show. She had swine flu and got pneumonia as a result of that, and she passed away. And she was only 24, and that was horrible.
My friend actually is still in the hospital and still on a ventilator.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that.
Every time she's more responsive, and every time they've tried to take her off the ventilator, she's suffered for it. So she's still on. But she went in with pneumonia and had COVID as a result. Mm. And she also had some kidney problems that were really highly exacerbated by it. So she's been on dialysis.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid for her, whether she recovers or not. She's going to be wheelchair bound after this.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, still sending my thoughts her way and hoping all can go as well as possible in this situation. So,
Everyone just send K-Kitty your love.
Now, ActDev talking about Daigo and the tweet that I was reading here. We owe a lot to Daigo on fighting games and competitive games getting mainstream. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, to hear that this is still going on and, you know, to people that we, you know, follow, respect, admire, it's just kind of a reminder. So even though, yes, you know, vaccines are doing some amazing stuff here in the States, and I think, you know, I mentioned we're taking next week off, and I think a lot of people are going to be kind of celebrating over the long weekend, I think it's still a reminder. You got to still take some sense of precaution, especially if you're not vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you really owe it to other people to still protect people from potentially getting the virus, you know. So, you know, take precautions and let stories like this be a warning. You don't want this to be you. So, because it never happens to you until it does. And then why did it happen to me? Anyway. All right. Moving on. We have another story, which I think is Darksiders.
Let me unmute now that I have taken a sip or taken a bite. So this is kind of cool. There is an old school Xbox Easter egg that people have found after 20 years. It was disclosed by the developer, one of the developers who worked on the Xbox. Basically, because it had never been found, he said how to do it. So you'll need to rip a CD to your Xbox hardware, and when you're prompted to name the album, you type in Timmy with 26 Y's and an exclamation point.
I think it's pronounced Timmy.
It is, but I am spelling it out. Anyway, what happens after that is that it will show you a different credit screen in the system information option that will list members of the Xbox dashboard team. So that's pretty cool. They also, in response to this, Seamus Blackley, who is also an amazing baker extraordinaire, and I have learned a lot from him, has actually reached out and told Kotaku that he wasn't aware of that Easter egg, but he says there's at least one last surprise the Xbox fans have not found, and he's not going to tell you how to trigger it.
Ah. Good luck.
Yeah.
Has anyone tried entering Cartman in the disc ripping stream? Which I totally forgot the Xbox would rip audio discs. I totally forgot that that was a thing until I was seeing this story myself. And I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing you could do. Like, I think I ripped the Echo Image album from back in the day.
Right.
You know, with DDR and all that stuff. I think I ripped that to my original Xbox. Because you could play games with music like that was ripped to the system. It's kind of neat. So, anyway, that's cute that we're finding all these Easter eggs, what, literally 20 years later, as, you know, Microsoft is celebrating 20 years of Xbox. So it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm.
For sure. That's pretty cool.
Meanwhile, on the Sony front, what do we have, Loki?
Some weird stuff. You know, apparently, back when Epic was testing the Unreal 3 engine on the PlayStation 3, they had built some kind of proof of concepts to basically test out the engine on the hardware, and some of the things that they did were port Unreal over to the PlayStation 3, and also they also have a version of Gears of War 3 that runs on the PlayStation 3. And well, thanks to a digital archivist by the name of Pixel Butts, he has decided to release the demo out to the internet archives, and now you're not necessarily going to be able to run this on PlayStation 3 hardware. It only runs on a dev unit, but I think through emulation you might be able to do some of it. Right now though,
or you could just get it on your Xbox. It's literally the same game,
right? But it's forbidden now to play it on PlayStation 3. So
I know. You're doing something you're not supposed to do. Yeah,
right. So apparently, though, it's not optimized, obviously, and it does have several caveats to get it to run. The emulator only can reach the title screen, but I guess if you happen to own a dev piece of hardware for PlayStation 3,
you can see a title screen.
No, you can actually play the game. It's
okay.
The emulator can only get to the
title screen. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Neat. Although cool. Not when you put it in the context of Epic was testing the Unreal Engine on PlayStation and this is what they used to do it, it's actually kind of like, oh, okay, well, that actually totally makes sense, even if this game that they were making was, an exclusive to Microsoft. So, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Less interesting and actually kind of pissing some people off has to do with a new amiibo that's coming out for Zelda Skyward Sword. Of course, Skyward Sword HD is coming out, in July? And there's going to be a new amiibo that comes with it, a Zelda and Loftwing amiibo. And it's putting a feature in this amiibo. So it's not unheard of that, like, amiibos do, like, interesting, weird things in the game. But this one's almost a little bit more because it actually allows you to zip between the game's Airborne Overworld and Hyrule Surface, which was not something that was available in the original game. It's a time saver. So, we've been talking a little bit about Summer Games Done Quick. And, Bobby's very involved with that and has been promoting that coming up in a few weeks. This could do a lot for speedrunning, but it's an amiibo. And it's something that you have to buy, basically. Not only is it an amiibo-only functionality, by the way, this amiibo is $10 more than your normal amiibo. It's $25.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Not $15. Well, I mean, it's not the first time that Nintendo's put out a more expensive amiibo because, like, that giant Yoshi yarn thing, that was a $40 amiibo. But it was a giant one. I mean, this one, I think it's a little bigger and it's a little more detailed, but still, I mean, you can't help but kind of raise your eyebrow at what's going on. Oh, and by the way,
they wonder why people pirate those amiibos. And
yes, and by the way, because this sold out, they sold out instantly. Gone in the UK, the US, you name it, scalpers bought them up. So, I want to, as much as I do not like to endorse piracy here on the show, I think this is one of those situations where we need to remind people it is possible to make your own amiibo. Not saying you can make it with the figure and all that stuff, but you can actually, if you want to unlock this feature, there is a way you can do that. Loki, you know a little bit more about this, right? It's like you can actually create your own RFID tags and all this stuff, right?
Yeah, so you basically buy these tags that are available like on Amazon or eBay or whatever. You just buy the specific RFID tags, and then what they normally do is they will store them in, like, it's like a sticker almost. And then people will buy, like, they're like coin collector cases. And so it's like a little coin, and you basically print out artwork for it and stuff and stick the sticker on there. Or like poker chips or something like that. So something small. But basically it's that sticker. And there's people online that will read, or you can actually read your own amiibo using just like an Android phone. And there's an app, an APK you can download to it that you can run and basically copy or download amiibos to these tags. And
so you can buy a whole binder of these.
Yeah, you can have, like, you know, basically 50 tags, I think, are like $20.
I have all these Animal Crossing cards too.
Yeah, so it's basically like that, and a lot of people leak them online, especially if it's something hard to find like this. It'll be online immediately, and so you can just, you know, download it, and then eventually if you stop playing, you know, this game, then you can download another one to it.
And again, this isn't a topic I enjoy discussing here on OLR, but when they put these kind of features away in the game and scalpers end up getting everything, and that's the person that's going to get hurt. I don't think Nintendo's going to get hurt as much by this as scalpers will, because, hey, Nintendo sold all their inventory, but the gamers would like to still be able to have the feature. So as far as I'm concerned, fuck them. And I mean scalpers. Fuck them. Like, you know, okay, thanks for giving Nintendo money so we can have a feature, I guess. Although I'm not the biggest fan of the implementation, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, if these amiibo were more readily available, I probably wouldn't be having this discussion right now. We'd probably be having more of a discussion about, well, should they be charging so much money? Shouldn't they have other ways to unlock this feature and so forth? But as far as I'm concerned, make your own amiibo. Who cares? So,
yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on and get to the listener roundtable. And this is the part where we get you guys involved with the show via your emails and any chat questions you might have over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And we'll get some of your Discord comments as well. There's some good stuff throughout the week this week. So we have some emails, I think, tonight, though. So we'll start with Dark Sakura and participate at orangelaundryradio.com if you want to send an email for a future week.
We do. So first email comes from Robert M. I would love to see the enhanced Mii editing features in Miitopia for the Switch patched into Smash Ultimate and used for later games that use Mii, such as Mario Golf Super Rush. Would this be a good idea or a bad idea? It's an idea.
Why not? Thank you for reminding us that Miitopia came out this week, because I plumb forgot. But I know Bobby was talking a little bit about it on his show tonight. I guess they have a very robust demo that came out for it. So maybe I'll check that out at some point. I think people love to have fun with those Miis. Of course, they love to make celebrities and things they shouldn't be making in there, and you know, scandalous things. But I think it just kind of shows that people have fun flexing their creative muscles with this stuff. Why shouldn't we put it in some of the other games like Smash Brothers and stuff? I think it's fun. Why not? But will Nintendo do it? Although, you know, with as much shit as we give Nintendo, like in that last story, I will say Nintendo is very good at supporting their products long after launch. And, you know, putting out DLC literally years after the fact, or something like the Mario Party story, like finally online years after the fact, but it's here and it's no extra cost. So hooray. So never say never, but I also don't know if Nintendo would be interested in really, you know, going back and messing with Smash Brothers. But they're still doing DLC, so it's not like it's like a game that's completely, you know, in the archives at this point. So never say never. But I think your suggestion is sound. Why not?
Yeah, why not? So next email?
Sure.
In honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, how have you personally grown through gaming? And this comes from D.
Ooh, this is a heavy question. Thank you for the question, though. I think it's important to talk about, but maybe not everyone necessarily wants to. You read the question one more time in chat. Pay attention if you're willing to share. I'd love to read some of your responses as well. I'm not sure we're all going to have one, but if you could read the question one more time, Darsakra.
In honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, how have you personally grown through gaming?
For me, and I've talked a little bit about this on the show in the past, but like when I was young, and I'm talking like fourth, fifth, sixth grade, I was bullied a lot because I was a little more effeminate than a little more nerdy than some other kids my age. So it was this weird thing where I would get picked on by other kids, but because I played video games, then those bullies would try to talk to me later when nobody else was around and ask me for video game tips. So it was this weird thing where like the fact that I was such a gamer and I played video games made bullies show another side of themselves to me. It was very strange. But that's just like this weird thing that I grew up with because of games. I know that's like really, really old, but obviously those formative years were like huge on my mental health and so forth. See, I also kind of think of the times when I was younger, and I'm talking like 22, 23, probably just before this show started. I came out as gay when I was in my when I was 20. And so those first few years, you know, and then like, you know, OLR started four years later. But in those first few years, I found a lot in the gay community that like it was like a lot of like judgment and stuff when I was a gamer. It was like, oh, you play video games? Like, and it was it was hard to get a date because it was like, oh, I don't know fashion. I don't know, the latest Madonna. I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but these are like things that I faced back then. Is it was like I am like a nerdy type, and that wasn't desirable. Now, the nice thing is, and what you know, your question is a little bit more of a positive, and how I make this a positive is that I really do see us now. All these years later, having done this show for 20 years and so forth, I think a lot of that is getting better. But to tie it back to something else we talked about earlier in the show, it's because people like me have been able to find my tribe. And that's why the tagging and that shit is so important. Like, I'm living proof, you know? And now I'm in this position where I actually have it kind of good, you know? As a cis white gay dude, you know what I mean? So I have privileges that a lot of other people are still trying to, you know, find their tribes and work together to, educate the rest of society on, you know, these other issues. So anyway, that's kind of why I bring that up is I do think that that was something where gaming, but I never apologized for it either. I never tried to be something I wasn't, you know, like I liked games, deal with it.
So. Just, people should just always be themselves. You'll find the right people when you're your authentic self.
Reading some comments from chat, and then I'll go to Darsakra and Loki if they have anything they want to add. Pod Culture says, Animal Crossing has helped me with calming from anxiety. Gaming in general has helped with my depression. Act Def says, I think video games helped me socialize more. I was a really shy person, still am kinda, but making connections through gaming allowed me to speak up to others. Oh, this, you know, you want to talk mental health. Gaming has been critical during this pandemic. Critical. I would not have made it if I couldn't play MMOs with people online or Animal Crossing and this stuff. You know, like I think they've been more important than ever with everything that we're going through. Jamie, do you have anything you want to add? You don't have to, but I want to give you guys an opportunity.
Just that gaming was always my outlet, and I learned a lot through it. And honestly, I've never made any apologies for being a gamer.
Yeah. Loki?
Certainly coming to doing this show has really given me thicker skin.
Yeah, you know, and you, obviously you've had to deal with that in a way that Loki and I don't. I've gotten, you know, I just a little bit over the years. I get the whole, you remember when we would get the email that would be like, "You're so Rob, you're so cool, but I wish you would look to Jesus to, you know, with your so lifestyle, ridiculous. You know, that all that kind of stuff." Which it's unfortunate, but my answer is no. I'm not going to change who I am, and no thing that you. You can believe all you want about all that, but like my maker made me who I am, period. So anyway, Huh. And yeah, so anyways, but you, Darksocker, you've had to, you know, you get the real trash bag. Well, more so in the past, though. Again, I think that's a well, I'm not to dismiss or say it doesn't happen at all, but I think you would agree it was a lot worse in the earlier years before yeah. more women were podcasting. Let's be real.
It's just a matter of, I'm trying to think of how to phrase it, of sticking to your guns and staying authentic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me get some more chat comments. Dijirama S says, one game got me through a very bad time in my teenage years. That game is Secret of Mana. That was an incredible game. I'm sure, you know, how it applied for you in that situation was very different from how it applied for me. But I think that game means a lot to a lot of different things to many people. SSJ100 Matt says, but personally, gaming has helped me manage stress and help me get out of my downtimes in my life. Sometimes a distraction and working on constructive in a different media has helped me get out of my own head and out of depressive times. Interesting. Construction and creativity and that sort of thing. We hear that a lot. Pardon me. One more comment here. Mishkins in our chat says, this show, along with gaming, has helped me discover myself and who I am. And I'm slowly coming into myself and who I am as a person. That is... I don't know if there's a better compliment somebody could give us about this show. So I just thank you so much for that. And when people say, you know, even though just earlier in the show, I was like, I don't know how this show gets past 20 years. When I think of things like that, then I kind of go, I probably got another 5 years in me. am I right? You know? So
maybe
they thank you for that. All right. Anyhow, Loki, I don't want to skip you. Do you have anything you want to add?
I just met lots of people through gaming, but I don't think it's really... I don't know. I don't think it's changed.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I can see, but it's mental health in the way that, again, it's finding your people. It's finding your tribe. It's the same thing, even if it's in a different way, you know?
True. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the email. For such a short, succinct email, that was a hard-hitting but really good question, and it's important we talk about mental health. We've sure talked enough about COVID. That's a physical health thing. Why don't we talk about mental health as frequently? It's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, is there more? I think there's at least one more, right?
Yeah, just one more. So, and this comes from our own Ranma. Hey, Rob. Oh, it's for you.
Okay.
I have mentioned before that I may know the reason why patches for console games are huge. You might think it's crazy, but please bear in mind the company I used to work for.
Okay.
Most Xbox games were run in a virtual environment as a disk image, especially the Xbox and Xbox 360 games that are backwards compatible. So what companies do is patch the game and upload it. So that if the game you bought has a patch, it will still download the game instead of copying the disk. But the disk still will be the license key to play the game. This is done so that the console doesn't have to run any commands to patch the game in case the patching goes wrong. And given your recent issue with Mass Effect Legendary Edition, EA screwed up the patching on that. And if you notice, Sony does something similar with PlayStation games. I know that sounds crazy, but companies feel it's easier that way, but they don't realize the burden it puts on those with data caps. I hope this answers your questions. If not, let me know and I'll see what I can do. Game on, y'all. DJ Ranma S.
No, he said it right there at the end. They don't realize the burden that they're putting on us normal people with data caps. Bingo. That was it. So but you, as far as like your explanation and stuff, it does make sense. But I'm pretty sure most of the times all the disc is doing, especially now on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, where the whole solid state drive is part of the experience, you can't do that from a disc. So yes, it pulls down the whole disc and basically the parts that it needs and basically puts it on your drive. And that disc at that point is just how you unlock and play it, so that the game knows you still have the license rights to be able to use it. All of that makes perfect sense. Why can't the patching just patch the parts that have already installed my hard drive? That's what they're all missing. I get what you, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I just wish they would approach it differently so that it can be more respectful of that whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. Any other emails? All right.
No.
All right. Let's get into, Bobby does point out some patches are large because the files on your hard drive are compressed. Interesting. You know, Steam takes forever to patch things like Dead by Daylight. And I always thought it took so damn long because it was uncompressing, patching, compressing. And honestly, if I have to wait longer to have that experience on console for smaller patches, I'm more than happy to take it. But I get that consoles are probably a little more confined with the drive space. It just sucks. Can I just sit here as a gamer and say, it sucks. I don't like it. All right. Hey, Shad Starzik's in chat. You missed the birthday shout out earlier. I'm not doing it again, but I hope you had a good one. Shad Starzik's in chat and says, why is Resident Evil 8 such a good game and the second area of the game the scariest thing in gaming since PT or Resident Evil 7 VR? Discuss. I couldn't tell you because I haven't played it, but from what I've heard about it, because I've caught some things here and there, it sounds scary because the character design is pretty crazy. From what I understand, the lady Dimitrescu in that is not like, she's just one part of the game. She's kind of like in Mega Man, she would be like Quick Man. And then you still have other people you have to fight. Quick Man was the tall one, right? No, it was that Flash Man. I forget. Anyway. otherwise, I would ask, see, Alan is right over there, and I would ask him about Resident Evil 7 because he's been playing it on his stream, except he's not wearing a shirt right now and he's cooking, so I can't really bring him on stream. But I know he's been going through Resident Evil 7, and I know that's, I haven't watched him play. I am very supportive of my husband's streaming, and you should follow him at Alan Alchemy. Can he even hear me talking about him right now with his headphones in? Probably not. No, I think he's listening to something else. I will not watch the Resident Evil 7 stuff because there's too damn many jump scares and my old heart can't take it. But anyway. All right. Let's see. Other comments in chat. Let's see. Thank you, Chatter. Chatters are giving Shane the birthday wishes now in chat since he missed his at the beginning of the show. I talked about that text you sent me with the damn Tron arcade one up. All right. Anyway, I'll get to Discord, and then we'll get some last-minute stories, because I know we have a few of those tonight. But first, let me do a couple topics from Discord. There was one thing. Okay, and so over on Discord, of course, over at vognetwork.com/Discord will get you into our server, and we have a whole channel for Orange Lounge Radio, and you guys like to post things there throughout the week, including, I didn't know about this. They're making a Technica documentary? Interesting, called Touching Sound. Oh, it's already out, and you can stream it on something called Tubi, which is one of those app services. You can stream that for free. Is that literally about DJ Max Technica? And that, it has to be. It's the same thing. So I wonder, now Shane's in chat, I wonder if he knows about this, a whole movie documentary on Technica. That's interesting. All right. Something else they've been posting about in our Discord server. I think this is very interesting. Tiger Claw linked us to a tweet that is an indie developer making a fighting game, but it uses cars. And there's actually some little video of this in action. It looks very interesting. I didn't catch what the name of the game is, though, but the person on Twitter who did this, Fontes Ranter, is the person that did this. And there's some other people that were kind of discussing it. And it's called Shut Up and Drive. Thank you. That there, because there's an FAQ that was linked there. So
isn't that cool. A Rihanna song?
It is. And one of the greatest lip syncs in Drag Race history. Yes. But in this case, it's also a video game. She doesn't own that phrase. Shut Up and Drive is something we've all been saying on the freeway for a long time.
It was used in Wreck-It Ralph.
That's right. You can't help but hear that, though, when you see a name like that. And, you know, even though this is an indie studio, I hope somehow Rihanna would give the rights so that it can be in the trailer. Shut up and drive. Okay, I better not sing too much or we're going to get DCMA'd. Tiger Claw also linked us to a tweet from Xbox where they were talking about, it's 2007. What are you booting up? And the screenshot had Halo 3, BioShock, Mass Effect, and Rock Band. This was a play on another viral tweet that was like a movie had made like an 80s cinema with some quintessential 80s film. So they like photoshopped it. And I was like, oh, Rock Band for sure. Hello. Hello. Anyway, let's do some last minute stories and I'll do a few more of your comments from Discord. Dark Soccer, I think you mentioned you had something tonight that you wanted to fit in here.
I did. It's just a little something. But on the 25th, so this Tuesday, there's going to be an announcement for Dead by Daylight, and they've already teased this, but for Resident Evil's 25th anniversary, Dead by Daylight is getting Resident Evil a Resident Evil chapter for their 20th chapter. Lots of speculation as to what's going on. They are saying that there's highlights back to the classics. So there's a lot of people thinking that it's going to be centered around the original Resident Evil. There's still people who are thinking it's going to be like from Village. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the hope is that, I mean, one of the big theories out there is that this is actually going to be multiple maps and at least two killers and two survivors. So we'll
see.
That's
a big pack if that's true.
If that's so, I mean, the Stranger Things one was one killer, a map, and two survivors, and that's like $12.
Yeah.
So this is, if it's that big, it's probably going to at least be $20 DLC, and I will do it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I would love to see Village in it. I would love to see Lady Dimitrescu. I think she's just such a character and she'd be so good as a killer in Dead by Daylight. I have heard the rumor about her daughters being one of the killers and that they're witches that you can like switch between and shapeshift. I think that's kind of cool too. I'm down with that.
Someone did a mod that turns, I think, Dwight into Ethan or David into Ethan because mm-hmm. of the body shape. And then one of the daughters into Nurse, from Nurse.
Interesting. But I think a lot of the heavy rumors are that it's Jill and Leon and it's Nemesis. And I'm kind of like, you're probably right.
I mean, Jill and Chris?
I thought I read, who's the character in 4?
I thought that was, play 4. Okay, that was Leon, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But But if they were going to do Leon, it should be like Leon and Claire. I mean, I think they would do Jill and Chris and have skins for Leon and Claire.
Oh, that makes sense. Because speaking of Stranger Things, they are doing a skin for Steve to turn him into the other character, Will's brother.
It doesn't look right because his face structure is so different.
No, it doesn't.
I think it would honestly be super possible, especially if it's Nemesis. It would be really easy to have a cosmetic for Mr. X.
Yeah. I'm still going to cross my fingers that the vampires or the witches are going to be the killer, but
I think we're going to get skins for those.
Yeah. If it's Nemesis, cosmetics. Cool. I'll still buy. Who am I kidding? Well, I'm going to buy it.
And look at what they did for Heather Cheryl. I played her as Heather so long. I still call her Heather.
Yeah.
The Silent Hill chapter is that they gave her the Sybil skin and the nurse. What was her fucking name? Lisa Garland.
Mm.
And that they also gave her the Alessa skin.
RHM087 in chat says, would it be strange for one of the survivors to have special powers? See my previous comment on Scott Howard, not to be confused with Scott McCall. No, it would not be weird for, you know, they'll do a talent that's going to mix things up.
They're perks.
Yeah.
Well, for example, you got, you know, perks that let you fight back from Laurie.
Yeah. Or, I would say the biggest example is, Leatherface, and Barbecue and Chili is like I don't want to say a mandatory killer talent, but the quality of life from that singular talent, it's like you kind of like you have to get that DLC, which what a clever way to make people buy DLC, huh? But yeah. So, yes, yeah. they could do things that are really going to mix it up. But I don't think they would be unique to the character. They'd be unique to the perks.
But the whole thing is that the survivors cannot attack a killer. Except for like
blinding.
The escape tactics, like decisive strike. So, you know, and you do have like distraction things like the pebble. Everyone loves the pebble.
I'm sorry.
That's good. And like things like that are good for against killers that, you know, are use audio based clues like Nurse and Spirit, for example.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that. We're not going to have any that can actually just legit fight back or David, no. The character David would have been completely screwed over because that was his whole storyline.
Yeah.
He was a fighter.
An RHM in chat says a literal werewolf. I just don't think so. They can't do anything that's going to completely like turning into a werewolf and being able to run super fast or whatever the werewolf can do, like fight back.
We already have sprint burst.
Yeah,
we already have Dead Hard.
They can't do something that's going to completely break the game. And it's also, it's part of Dead by Daylight's nature that the perks transfer from character to character. So somebody can turn into a werewolf. They all need to be able to turn into a werewolf. And that would just be a little weird. Now, but at the same time, they've talked, you know, and I don't want to completely dismiss the comment. It's a fair idea because they have also said it's the 5th anniversary. This Resident Evil thing is going to change up the game a little bit. We have new things in store for this game. You know, it's 5 years old and people are just now finding it and we're going to mix it up a little bit. So I say all this, but at the same time, maybe they will do something completely radical and different. Your idea is not far-fetched in that regard. So there's one way to find out, and that's watch on Tuesday. So
I'm excited about it. Are you?
Yeah. I mean, now that I'm into this game, for sure. I want to see the reveal. I'm actually almost more interested in the roadmap for the future.
Yeah, well, they're going to definitely be doing some talking about that on Tuesday as well. I'm glad it's my day off.
Lucky you.
But that DLC itself is going to be coming out later on in June.
Yeah. Okay, now let me get to some other Discord comments, and I'll check in with Loki here. Let's see. Oh, I thought this was interesting. Dungeon Buster shared a tweet from Jason Schreier, I hope I said that right, who said who's kind of countering, and he's does game journalism stuff. I'm sorry, I don't follow them all. I don't know who they work for because they always move around and stuff. Sorry. But it says rumors like this keep floating around, but Starfield is nowhere near done. According to several people familiar with development, it'll be at E3, but the planned release date I've heard is way later than most people think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either, but at the same time, Bethesda usually doesn't show the inner workings of the game until it is damn ready. So I'm not completely pushing back on the comment. I mean, obviously he has more industry, you know, insiders and stuff than I certainly do. But I would wonder how much are they really going to show it if they're not ready to show, you know, to release the game. That's not usually Bethesda's thing. At the same time, something very different has happened in the last year with Bethesda. Microsoft bought them. So maybe that is going to change their entire approach. That is certainly a thought within the realm of possibility. It is plausible. All right. I'll just fucking say it. It's plausible. So but we'll see at E3, huh? All right. Bobby says he's actually a journalist doing actual journalism. He's with Bloomberg. Thank you. I can never follow. They're at Kotaku one day, Polygon the next. Then they're working at a newspaper somewhere else. It's hard to keep track. All right. Anyhow, let's see. Loki, do you have any last minute stories?
Yeah, I did have one. Unfortunately, the servers for Little Big Planet had to be shut down temporarily because somebody hacked into them and put a bunch of transphobic comments everywhere on all of the different levels. Mm-mm-mm. So,
well, at least, you know what? As old as that game is at this point, I'm glad they're doing the right thing and fucking stopping that. So, you know what?
It's the temporary shutdown. They just have to clean the issue up, but it's because it's so widespread.
I see this as a good thing. Not the hack, not that. But the fact that Sony is still going back and addressing it and cleaning it the fuck up, that's a good thing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I think we're about to the end of the show, and Alan just finished dinner, so I'm ready to eat. So we're going to wrap things up. Thank you guys for listening to our show tonight. Really appreciate you guys. We had a lot of great topics tonight. Just really appreciate you guys being here. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more gamers in here to have their voices heard. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show, it goes an awful long way. Hosting on your Twitch channel, whether you're here live or not, it goes a long way and is super appreciated. Just type /host VOG Network in your own chat. Actually, you want to add it to your auto host list is even better because the slash command just does it one time. But yeah, thank you guys for being here. If you feel so inclined, we have a shop, vognetwork.com/shop. Thank you just for being a part of this and all the great comments and nice things you had to say tonight. Really appreciate you. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. I will start tonight because somebody did a redeem with a post-show shout-out. So technically it's supposed to be after the show, but I just have to read it now. Fat Ninja DM redeemed this earlier and said, "As always, you guys and gals from the VOG Network knock it out of the park every week. I stepped away from podcasts for years and then got back into it, and OLR was the first podcast I started looking for. If I could describe OLR in one word, it would be timeless. OLR always adjusts to the video game and social landscape. Can't gush about you guys and gals enough. Keep doing what you're doing. Much love and respect." Thank you so much for that. And you know, it's funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have heard something along the line. Not quite. You put it very, very kindly and very complimentary. But I have heard the whole... I was randomly looking up Orange Lounge Radio because I remembered listening to that in the DDR Freak days. You guys are still going? Dang.
Right? Always the reaction.
That's...
Yeah.
Or that's usually what they're still going. The fuck? Yeah, it's usually the reaction I hear. So thank you for putting it a lot nicer. Although I appreciate everyone that discovers the show. I hope you're not too disappointed. We don't exclusively talk about DDR music games anymore. We still love those games an awful lot. Trust. So. All right. Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf. When I meet people, they say, "Yeah, I used to listen to you 15 years ago." I have many former listeners. Yeah, same, same. If we show up at a convention or something, we'll be like, when I first got my iPhone, I downloaded you. And then it's like, what'd you do after that? Oh, I unsubscribed. Oh, okay. T. It's fine. It's right. Fine. I understand. Look, as long as you're supporting an independent broadcaster or broadcast team somewhere and supporting independent voices, you know, celebrities are really taking over podcasting. And look, sometimes that's a cool thing. I like the Trixie and Katya podcast, okay? I'm going to listen to that Lori Beth Denver podcast. I get it. But at the same time, it is so important to support our indie scene as well, and these people, you know, really working hard from the love of the games and the industry, and so much out of their spare bedrooms on Skype or Discord, where StreamYard is another big one, or wherever they are. Just support your indie friends and indie podcasters. It means a lot. Okay, sorry, that was a very long final thought, but I had to do it. So Loki, how about you? What's your final thought?
Final thought is, like I said, I'm hoping to have my second episode of my YouTube series done today, and then episode 3 be coming much sooner. I've been making the mistake of doing too much in between stuff, so I'm planning things out a little bit better. So I've already got what's going to be in episode 3, and so that'll be coming much sooner. So look forward to that.
Nice. Orange Ride in chat says, "Orange Lounge Radio, my source of vital information." Thank you. Maybe that'll be the future tagline. All right. Dark Sakura, last but certainly not least, your final thought.
Stay tuned. I'm going to be doing some Dead by Daylight and hopefully not screwing up with my new mouse. So we'll see.
Oh, you changed that. I forgot.
Yeah,
that you got
a
new mouse. Oh.
I haven't started using it yet, so I'm probably going to try it on stream. I've been using a thumb trackball, and I'm actually starting to get like some repetitive thumb problems.
Oh.
So if you ever watch any of my streams or my clips, you'll see it's kind of jerky when
yeah.
it moves.
Yeah, I could tell your trackball was doing that. So I'm actually excited for you to see how that might improve by having the mouse now. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. So yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and drop out for now.
Yep.
But have a good night, everybody. I hope to see you in stream.
Don't text me when I'm trying to do the readouts. You'll get the raid in like 4 minutes, okay?
I will. Let me know when you're ready, and I'll let you know if I'm out of the room.
Okay, you got it.
All right. Later, kids.
All right. On that note, I will say goodnight to everybody here at Orange Lounge Radio. Of course, for those listening live, we'll be back after the credits as we usually are, just to do some final shout outs. But for everybody out there, podcast feed and live, reminder, we're taking next week off. Rob wants a vacation. So have a good, it's weird to say happy Memorial Day because it's not exactly a happy, but I want to just say, you know, have a good long weekend. You know, it's been a crazy fucking year and a half, and I think a lot of people are going to be able to do, even if things aren't back to normal yet, and they shouldn't be completely normal, I think a lot of us are going to get to do things where we get like a taste of that back. You know, talk about mental health and all that. A lot of us are going to get a taste, see some people that are also vaccinated that we haven't seen in a long time and all that stuff. I hope this Memorial Day is a good one for many of you out there. And if you want to stay home all weekend and play video games, you know what? That is fine too. Have a great time doing it. We'll see you in 14 days with another new episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Until then, have a great week. Bobby may still be holding the fort down next week. It all depends on if it's raining in Georgia or not. So stay tuned to our Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord. Anyway, have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into vognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.